Now entering Nerdist.com.
You made it weird. You made it weird. You made it weird. Oh, yeah. You made it weird. You made it weird.
Yes, you did.
You made it weird. Made it weird. Oh, yeah.
You made it weird with Pete Holmes.
Yes, what's up, weirdos? Joel McHale. Joel McHale. What a big one. Let's get into it as quickly as possible. A couple plugs up top. One is You Made It Movies. These are coming out fairly quickly, having a great time recording them. This is basically where me and a favorite guest from the show watch a movie and kind of talk. We talk the entire time about the movie, about what the movie makes us think about. Really fun for me, and I hope fun for you. That's on iTunes now. I believe by the time this comes out, there might be one or two. One is John Mulaney and I watched The Assassination of Jesse James by the Coward Robert Ford, one of my favorite movies. And then Paul F. Tompkins and I just watched my favorite movie of all time, There Will Be Blood. And both of those were tremendous. We have more coming, so keep an eye out for those on iTunes. They're listed as albums, which is why they're $9.99 when they come out, but that is a glitch. They're $1.99. An almost free podcast? Almost free podcast? This one will always remain free and super fun as well. Jeez, what's wrong with me? Okay, tour dates, February 1 and 2. That's coming up for Sketchfest. I'm going to be in San Francisco. We're doing a live You Made It Weird Saturday, February 2nd at Cobb's. That's going to be amazing. February 21st through 23rd, I'm going to be in Madison, Wisconsin. February 21st and 23rd for Comedy Club on State. Going to be bringing Chris Thayer with me for that. And then March 9th. Grand Rapids, Michigan, Gilda's Laugh Fest. That's March 9th. We're going to be doing a live podcast there as well. Very exciting. Email your favorite moments from the show because we're trying to put together a best of compilation. If you listen to an old episode and you have a favorite moment, if someone tells an amazing story or there's an amazing anecdote, something funny, something touching, something moving, something interesting, email the time code, when it begins and when it ends, and what it is and why you think it should be included, and email that to comedysexgod@gmail.com. And as always, you can reach me, weird@nerdist.com. That's the general email. Comedysexgod is the clip email. And that's it. The ad is Amazon. Go to nerdist.com, click on the Amazon banner, and then shop. That supports the show. Otherwise, go to youmadeitweird.com, buy t-shirts, or click on the donate button if you're nasty. In the meantime, enjoy Joel McHale, everybody. How did we get Joel McHale?
Yeah, I got my groceries. And I didn't want to fry my car.
I know, of course. What did you get? Sit and discuss groceries with me. Oh, would you sit here? I know it's... Is that weird? Would you sit here, please? That's the guest seat. I want you to get the full experience. Does it feel right?
This feels great. This is a nice studio.
Is it?
No. Not at all. No, it's not bad, actually. I like how it's kind of soundproofed.
Yeah. It looks like this is a huge, like a miniature for a giant, and he had a hard time making it look soundproof. You know, his huge hands couldn't get in here fully.
Well, yeah, they just ran out of this foam.
Yeah. Hardwick can't afford a full ceiling of foam.
Hardwick owns this place?
This is Hardwick's place.
Wow.
Welcome to Chris's place. What'll it be?
This is great. It's really nice.
I didn't realize. Is this the house that Nerdist built?
Yeah. Nerd Melt. Been crazy about that name.
Nerd Melt.
Nerd Melt. I guess it's okay.
Milt?
Nerd Milf.
M-I-L-T, though, are you saying?
I love a good Nerd Milf.
Yeah. Glasses and everything.
Yeah, sure. Do you enjoy the thicker arts?
The thicker arts?
Yeah. Back in your single days, I know you're a married man, and I don't want this to be a scandal.
Is it what you call it, a thicker arts?
Thicker milkshakes.
What the hell are you talking about? I morbidly obese?
No. I'm wondering if you, when you were single, enjoyed thicker milkshakes, which is the nicest way to say bigger girls.
Oh. Hmm.
I like it because it implies they have more ice cream.
That sounds horrible.
No, it's not. It's not.
You know the whole thing about when people are like, oh, yeah, I'm into Asians. Or
yes.
Like, oh, man, I'd like some of that hot chocolate. You know, and people like, then they'll be like, what are you into? And I'm like, I was into attractive women. and I was not into unattractive women. Uh-huh. And I was just like, I did not discern.
Yes.
Because they, yes.
That's funny that you say that, because that's what I always go, I'm with you there. But left of center, like, there's traditionally attractive people like you.
Oh, thank you. I'm traditionally attractive.
You are. You've heard your agents on the phone. Joel, he's traditionally attractive. Me, I'm left of center, they call it.
Really?
Yeah, off center. Not classically. That I, no, look, they're not saying that about me. I just think I know that about myself.
I would say above average height.
I thought you were going to say good looks.
Why would you think that?
I don't know. Left, I thought you were going to try of left of center. So what it is like, you know, a lot of people, I don't know how to frame this.
I wonder who came up with that phrase.
Left of center? Some asshole. like a jerk. A jerk face. An all-day jerk face. One time, speaking of looks,
I can't remember what it was for. I did a commercial. It was for some snack. It was for a yogurt. This is years ago. Anyway, I didn't get the role.
No.
And then I said, because you know when you go into those audition rooms and you, in my mind, I was like, I killed.
Yep.
I killed that copy for that yogurt.
Was it yogurt?
I want to think it was
And
yogurt.
They were like, they loved you, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, great. And then they're like, oh, you didn't get it. And I was like, well, what transpired?
Yes.
And they, my agents were telling me, they're like, well, they went with someone better looking.
Sting?
They went with Sting. And he killed it. No, and so then,
I dream of yogurt.
Then the guy, the better looking guy, booked a guest star and then didn't do the commercial. So then they did book me.
They did bring you back.
So I was like, hey, everybody, second choice. Joel McHale for second choice yogurt.
I did a commercial recently, and I was looking, like you shouldn't, I was in wardrobe, and I was looking through the headshots, and I found mine. And then I looked below, and it said second choice, and there was a photo of another guy. So I got to look in the face, the poor guy that was waiting to see if I would drop out or whatever.
Wow.
It hurt my feeling. I hurt for him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I've been there. I've been waiting to see if some guy is going to not take
it. And it's for those of you listening that don't audition for commercials all the time.
Very few people.
There is a thing where if you do it enough and you're halfway okay at auditioning or whatever, or at these, you're going to book some. If you do it,
you're being encouraging.
Yeah. So I'm saying like, you may be second choice, but believe first choice does fall out, and you're gonna be first choice. Yeah, yes. it's a cycle.
And then you'll be okay. When was that? If you're going out for commercials. When you were a commercial actor,
this was so I could not get an agent when I got here. I didn't get my
jawline
until later. I had it. I stole it from
John
Sting. After that commercial. From John Hamm. Take everything.
You and the Hamm, you both look like a geometry puzzle. I'm just saying a lot of
that's,
strong
you're
lines.
You're lopping me into a different category.
he's
John Hamm. I know men that are like, screw it, I'd do them.
Of course. Give him a toss.
Yeah.
The Hamm toss?
I don't get that.
Thicker milkshake Hamm toss? You don't understand.
Milkshake Hamm toss.
That's interesting because when I went and saw you on Conan and you were wearing kind of a madman-y suit.
Yes.
I put you in the Hamm.
Oh, God bless you.
You're rolling in the Hamm.
I love that Conan O'Brien.
Isn't he the greatest?
What happened with your show? Yes. You know, he is the greatest.
He's the king.
He's
the king of all of us.
He might be one of the smartest people.
You know, that's what
around.
Sona says.
Who says that?
Sona's his assistant.
Yes.
She says he's the smartest guy in the world, reads everything.
Yeah.
Can't say. And you guys are chummies.
Well, he still doesn't know how big. I think he does know how big of a fan I am of his. But yeah, now we know each other, and I still kind of like, I can't believe.
How did you navigate that? Because you meet someone and you're a fan, and then now you're friends.
I have this photograph of him
that you used for blackmail.
Butchering a bald eagle. And
Dick in the Book of Mormon, cutting the throat of a bald eagle.
Right.
Conan O'Brien,
yeah,
clearly not Photoshop. He's smiling,
and so he's. I was like, "You gotta be friends with me."
Well, when did you meet him? Like,
the first time I went on that show was write this down.
I'm writing down commercial because we're going to go back to when you were a struggling McHale and you couldn't get an agent. Because I'm sure people are interested in that.
That was, oh, yes. They're like, what? It comes next.
Well, I'm interested in your grocery. I'm interested in all things McHale.
Oh, it's going to be great. A lot of gifts in those groceries.
Yeah.
Salad.
gifts.
Spanish wine.
Grocery gifts are the best kinds of gifts.
Yeah. That's when you have given up.
Yes.
And don't have time. You're like, oh, screw it. I'm just going to get something at the grocery store. How would you like? Could I get a gift receipt for this? At Pavilions? All right. What were we talking about? No, so...
How you met the Conesies.
I was on the show.
And then I'll tell you what's happening.
Well, it turns out that his wife is from the same area that I and my wife are from.
Now, where do you consider yourself to be from? Because it's confusing. You grew up in Seattle.
I grew up in a suburb just outside of Seattle called Mercer Island. But she and she grew up actually in Seattle.
Okay.
Conan's wife. And then my wife grew up in a suburb called Renton, which is where Boeing is. That at one point, that's all Seattle had was
Boeing.
Was Boeing.
Huh.
And then a little guy named Bill Gates showed up.
I thought you were going to say Kurt Cobain. And then a little fella.
And then, yeah, no, Seattle. Seattle's changed dramatically. It went from Boeing, which was like, this is what we do here. This is it. And we have oysters. And to Amazon, Starbucks, Microsoft, these like Vulcan and Paul Allen's company, and just these insanely profitable companies showed up. And it was like they came in and remodeled the place and added a bunch of rooms.
So when you were there, it was Boeing. It was like a coal town, but all the guys were coming back covered in
a lot
airplane
of Boeing
parts.
Yeah. And where Microsoft is where they're – it was like 12 soccer fields.
Really?
Everyone would be like, well, that's if you're on the good teams, you go play in those fields. And they disappeared in one of Microsoft's menus.
Taken over by people who have never played soccer.
But they write soccer games. So
hyper-realistic soccer games.
Played. Yeah, I remember going to the Microsoft campus and just like in an average cafeteria, there'd be like a section of the Berlin Wall.
Really?
Yeah, and just be like, yeah, I just put that there.
That's so funny. That's great. Yeah. And I like to think that they're haunted by soccer. Because it's like an Indian burial ground. Like
the ghosts.
The ghost of orange slices just shows up after every afternoon.
Why can't we have water at halftime? Why is it always orange slices? And I'm sticky. I'm sticky, and now I'm going to go run around for another hour.
Stupid mom with the orange slices.
It's
they're colorful.
Like, how about some Gatorade? Something. Water. Water.
The fact that I'm a grown man and can buy Gatorade. When I was a kid, all I wanted was Gatorade. Yeah. And now I can buy it, and I wouldn't buy it.
Well, it's weird when you are ordering by color.
Yeah, oh, you know. Blue Powerade, Joel.
Want blue or you want the...
Yeah.
It
looks like really... water in a cartoon. You know, when they turn a faucet, that's what blue...
Yeah.
And that's why I used to love Blue Powerade, because I felt like I was in a Tom and Jerry.
Really?
It's like, I got this from the faucet. In fact,
this from the cartoon faucet.
Yeah, the cartoon faucet. I would love in my home to have like a cartoony-looking sink like a Looney Tunes, and it shoots Blue Powerade.
Is Powerade carbonated?
No.
I think there was a version of Powerade when it very first came out that it was carbonated.
Okay.
And it was rejected much like the first time in The Matrix when the robots created a world that was too perfect.
I love that reference. Didn't I just reference that on the show? I'm often talking about how we need pain and like suffering or we'll wake up from The Matrix.
Right. We will be.
I can't believe you went there. Nobody wants that. A bubbling sports drink. That's the orange slices of sports drinks.
Because I feel like if you're trying to gulp down something fizzy.
No good.
It stops.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of belching mid-game. You can't have that happening.
That SNL Gatorade cookie dough commercial is a near perfection.
Gatorade cookie dough?
Yeah. They were just pouring cookie dough out of it. It was such a wonderful, beautiful, simple idea.
I wouldn't.
Speaking of.
Yeah. Oh, you're going to eat something?
No, I'm going to drink something.
Oh, cookie dough?
No.
Ooh.
I heard sparkling water, and I said, I'm a huge fan of anything carbonated.
Really?
Yes.
Do you have acid reflux?
Nope.
That's great.
Do you have acid reflux?
I used to, and if you do have it, one of the first things that you need to get rid of is what you're drinking right now, Perrier.
Oh, it's so satisfying.
Isn't Perrier owned by Coca-Cola? Something disappointing. There's something disappointing about Perrier.
Oh. I don't know. Let's see.
I'll tell you that. I'm a weirdo.
It's made outside of New York somewhere.
No, I think it's bottled at the source. I believe that. I looked for that.
It's owned by Nestle.
Yeah, that's I don't know why that bothers me.
Nestle owns a lot of stuff that we don't know.
I think Nestle water tastes better because I think it has a like a nuance of chocolate. Because you're drinking water, which tastes like nothing, and you're thinking chocolate. And I think my brain just goes like, give them a little chocolate. it's just like, give them the memory of chocolate.
There's that big, huge Nestle headquarters in Glendale.
Is there?
It says Nestle across the top of the building, and you just think that place must smell terrific.
It must be delicious. Desks made of dark chocolate.
Oh, cookies.
Of course, all day cookies. Oh. Do you eat shit like that? I'm going to be all over the place, but I got it all.
Once a week, I eat that shit.
You do? Oh, you have a cheat day?
I do. It's sad.
No. You're in a safe place. This is the place to talk about this stuff.
This will not be broadcast. You can say anything.
Katie has not hit record yet.
Nope. I think it's smart, Katie.
It's for the best. Mm. You're a fitman.
I'm not as fit as you think, but the fact that I just don't eat as much helps make you look fitter.
Is that what you do?
I'm trying to get when community is in full swing, it's nearly impossible.
Well, it's
to
hard.
Exercise.
You know, I don't think he'd mind. Conan also exercises a lot and stuff and stays in good shape. Yep. There's something about being on television. Some of my friends are getting shows now, like Amy Schumer, and she said as a joke, but we were out to eat and they were like, do you want dessert? And she goes, I'm on television. We had a rapport with the waitress. But she's right, too.
Yeah.
I was just watching a video of myself. We just did this new Batman video, and the proportions were wrong, so I was stretched out. You know what I mean? And I was like, I love this video. And then I realized that
I'm even taller now.
I'm
7'5".
I'm tired of being known as a short person.
140 pounds. But if I have a diet for you, which I've talked about before in many other podcasts.
Is that true?
Nope. Maybe. I've mentioned it. But it's like if they say, because in community I'm naked a lot.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, you're going to be naked. So then that is one of the greatest motivations to be slim.
Yeah.
Because.
Well, what is the diet?
I don't eat.
Oh, you do the Christian Bale. When asked how he lost all that weight for the machinist, he said, I don't eat.
I can't believe I'm talking about it. Your
friend Boygan?
Boyd Vico. Great guy. Very smart.
I know Boyd.
No, you don't. You do not.
You're the first person to call me on that bit. I find it very funny whenever people are like, my good friend Tyler Mack.
Tyler Mack, I know.
Yeah, I think it's so funny to just say, I know Tyler. Just like, what?
And then, really? No.
You called it because you're a goddamn sharpshooter.
That's right.
You can't be stopped.
No, it's called a slow carb diet.
Okay, hit it.
It's basically a no carb diet, but you can eat beans and lentils.
Because those have carbs. But you mean
they
no
have carbs, but they're not the same as flour. Oh my gosh.
No.
Myself.
You couldn't be more in my wheelhouse. I love talking about nutrition.
So you go to like, I don't know, you go to Whole Foods or you go to your Ralph's and you buy canned beans. And everyone thinks, I wouldn't want to be around you during that diet. The key with beans for you not to have that reaction is the beans have to be properly soaked. And it's just like if you eat a lot of dried fruit, you will have a pipe organ of sound and smell. I guess pipe
just
organ.
Like a
smell
a hockey ring organ happening.
But if it's slow carb, because that no carb diets are seriously hard. Because you
when you say no carbs, you won't eat a tomato because it has carbs.
Yeah. But on the cheat day, you can go nuts because the key is to trick your metabolism into thinking you're not starving or that you're not getting all the stuff that you used to eat.
That's really interesting.
Not starving, but like your body goes, all right, this is what we're going to do and we'll adjust to this. But then on the cheat day, you go crazy and just eat buckets of Cool Whip. And then your body goes, oh, we're doing great.
Yeah.
Let's keep this metabolism going. And then you hit it back.
I can't believe you're bringing this up because I'm reading this book about how your brain controls how thin you're allowed to be. And if you diet, it thinks there's a famine. This is this guy's hypothesis.
Right.
It thinks it's a famine and you're in danger, so it'll hold on to your body fat. And that makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
He started it when he saw his cat. His cat was super fat, and then one day a dog chased it, and then it lost all this fucking weight because it was like, because it got bit.
It was like, we're going to die. Yeah, so we must do something.
And the cat ate more than it normally ate. It was eating all this fucking, he points out that it's premium cat food. I love that he said it was
like
premium.
Premium? What was it?
What was Frisky's? The cat food?
No, Frisky's. It's got to be one of those wet.
It's one of those ones that's wet and you smell it. You smell it and you put it on a dish.
Yes.
And you ring a bell and a white cat comes out and nibbles just a little.
And that's the cat. that was running away and got bit.
And got bit. That white cat got bit from that commercial.
So in theory.
Second choice cat, by the way.
After this broadcast, I could run at you with a crowbar.
And I would lose some weight.
And I was like, you're going to die.
And I'd be like, thank you, Joel. These pesky last
this
10.
This is great. I'm terrified.
But then the thing, so the cat gets super thin. Right, and keeps eating. So they feed it more because it's like too thin. They fed it, and then to get it to gain weight, what they did was they put it on a diet. They gave it very little food, and the cat would meow a lot. You know, they fed it enough, and then it started gaining weight again because it was like, oh.
And then the dog was like, finally.
Now it's
back
worth
to
eating.
Fighting weight.
Now it's worth getting.
This guy wrote an entire thing about this cat, and then he. Well, translated into a diet.
It gets a lot more new agey. It gets to the point where it's like you're meditating, you're supposed to think thoughts like thin is safe and you need to think of yourself being thin.
I get that whole thing. It doesn't seem new. I mean, I get it's, that. But
what is it?
Because when you see, like when you're watching, when I watch The Biggest Loser, which I have to sometimes, not have to. I enjoy.
Because you're married.
I love Bob.
Who's Bob?
Bob the trainer. Come on.
I'm sorry.
Jerk.
I can only picture the font and the little
Bob
weight band.
No, but that it is a it's a mental thing is that you have to decide to want, you know, to make that effort to lose it or there's no point.
Right.
Because you hear about that lap band surgery all the time about people get it, they lose all that weight and they gain it all back because they're able to expand that tiny part of their stomach, and it's really sad.
I always picture the things they put on lobster claws in the market. That's what they put on your belly.
Yeah, well, I don't think that's true. Are you a four-year-old? That's what you imagine it's like? They open somebody up, very dangerous surgery.
And put one of those rubber
put
bands.
Put the rubber band.
There's the lobster is there in and scrubs. Like, and he's like, this is what I'm here for.
Makes sense. I just did a visual joke. That
I loved
doesn't
it.
Make any sense
you, I, you either. Mimed. See, that's some good yes anding.
Yes.
You mimed taking it off. Well, you are an improviser.
Yeah, I used to do a lot of it. As are you.
As am I. I didn't know you knew that. Did we talk about that?
Nope.
No.
But I just,
you can smell your own.
Yeah.
Adam.
Look, lanky white guys in Hollywood probably most likely are improvisers.
When I moved to Chicago.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I was on a bus filled with me and people that look like me and fat people, fatter people. They're all white people, all white men.
They all got off.
Matt Brongers and me's and John Gemberling's, and we all got off and we went to I.O. That's what we did.
Yeah.
But you that made sense when I read that you did theater sports. So you were doing short form?
Yeah, but this was back it was the theater, it was called Unexpected Productions, and that was just one of the things that they did was theater sports. So there was, you know, heralds and improvised plays and musicals. So that was a very – it wasn't just all games.
Right.
We like to say.
I don't look down my nose on the games. I find those very difficult. I think people go like, we do heralds because it's the art. You also do heralds because it's like relaxed and you don't have to be like, think of something funny right now.
Go.
You know what I mean? Yeah. You're like, this is what Dell would have wanted. You're also a pussy. You know what I mean? Like, and I'm a pussy too. Like, that's why I like the long form too. I don't want to be handed a foam peanut and be like, what is it?
Like, I felt that's stressful. Like so many heralds started out where at least, I don't know, because this was years ago I did them, was just like, let's solve the world's problems with this herald.
Yeah.
We're doing something important.
It gets very lofty. And was it like me and that all the best work was done in the rehearsal? You'd do some like amazing rehearsal and then the show would be like, my boner's in your diarrhea. I don't know why.
What made you say boners and diarrhea?
And what made me say it like Eric Andre? My boners in your diarrhea! Bacon!
It's funny.
It's a very good Eric Andre, and it's my first try. It just came out that way. Yeah, I reverse engineered it. I talked that way, realized it sounded like Eric,
and then
relabeled it.
Oh, it's good.
And that's the secret to life.
I think that's good.
Yeah, throw it
in
reverse.
Do you still improvise?
I don't, not really, but I improvise in stand-up a lot. I enjoy that. A lot. When here's the shameful admission. When I was doing improv, I wasn't getting enough juice from it. I needed more attention. I'm not proud of that, but I wanted to be in every scene. I was.
But the fact that you could know that,
and move on
and go, like, I'm out of here, guys.
No,
but no, I think that was really that's very perceptive.
That's what you should do, right? Is that what you did, or do you still do it?
No, people just got out of my way because I was the.
I was just walking to every scene, pull out some fake guns, and be like, all right.
Yeah.
New sheriff's in town.
Like literally. Steve Carell in the Office. Did you see that episode of The Office where he goes to improv class and every scene he has a gun?
Blam.
And then the teacher's like, you can't have a gun in the scene. And then he whispers something to the girl, and she goes, he said, I have a gun. It was so perfect. Yeah, we all know people like that just couldn't do improv, yeah. So we'd shoot everything.
My favorite kind of improv was always... and not on purpose, but we would always be, we challenge you to a bad improv scene.
Oh, that's great.
And I always fell apart doing them because I thought it was so funny to do it badly.
Yes, on purpose.
Yes. Well,
we also love playing No Laughing. Did you ever play No Laughing?
No.
It was this, you do it, and it has to be in front of an audience. I love the way you said no. You have to do it in front of an audience, and you can't be funny. But then there are some people that are just naturally funny. So you put them in the scene, and they would be like, what do you want for dinner? And people then, would crack up because it was just like something about the
and
way they said it.
And if you go too far into it, if you try to be like, how was your abortion?
Right.
People are
right.
Burst
of course.
Laughing.
Of course. You try and be super serious. I want to tell you about the Lord. And then everyone just loses their shit.
Right.
So you.
I guess the key to win that scene would try and be really funny.
Yeah, because there's nothing less funny than someone trying to be funny. Is that your point?
Yeah.
Like doing silly voices. Really,
but people in the audience were like, hey, wait a minute. What's happening?
Right, right. That's the
and
way.
And then they would not be laughing. They would be questioning.
Thinking.
Wow, we just figured out a lot of improv. So.
But improv does get lofty. And it does get kind of world PC, green PC. Let's figure it out.
Let's have a bunch of white people on stage.
Yes. Together. And the suggestion is cold. And we all go.
Yeah. And then it always cuts to a relationship. It's over.
That's right. The first scene in the Herald would be a breakup.
Of course it would be.
And then when we come back, he's firing the woman. And then in the third one.
I always be like, you know, it doesn't have to do. People would be like, what was that? I didn't know what was cold in that scene. And then you'd be like, I used a lot of words with the letter C in them. And be like, okay. Deep.
Way to A to C it.
Jerk.
Literally.
Yeah.
A lot of C's. So you were doing improv, and then did you tire of it, or did you?
I started working at on a TV show in Seattle called Almost Live, which then took up all my time, and I really didn't have time to do it after that.
You were doing a local
sketch comedy show on the NBC affiliate.
See, this is some outlier shit. How old were you when that happened?
20.
So, okay.
20.
20. Arguably right around the age 21. Where you're as young as you could be to handle the responsibility of being on the show. You know what I mean? As old as you need to be to do it, but as young as possible.
Yeah.
Man, and this opportunity comes along. You know?
Yeah.
You know, did you read Outliers?
Which... I never read it.
It just talks about how Bill Gates, speaking of Bill Gates, was as old, he was like 18, as young as possible to be, so young being prime and good, when computers became accessible.
Right.
So he was as young, it's smart enough, but also young enough. If he had been 20, there would be some 18-year-old behind him with 2 years more experience. So here you are kind of like at a very key point.
Yeah, but I think I leveled off real quick.
What does that mean? What do you mean?
Well, you think, all right, well, he had a good job when he was 20 or 22, and then it took a while then.
After that.
Yeah.
Well, then that in between this and then that's where yogurt commercial is.
That was all that happened.
So, okay.
One yogurt commercial.
That you were the second choice for.
What was that for?
Something about his face just doesn't say yogurt. Some guy was
really... Just get someone better looking than that. I don't want to look at him anymore.
Someone call Sting. Get me the number for Stonehenge.
I don't care how much it costs.
Find out which field of gold he's in. It's signed up.
Like, all right, we can get Andy Summers, but we can't get Sting. Really?
Deal.
No, I don't want him.
Oh, okay. Is he the guitar player?
Yeah.
I can't believe I knew that.
He's the one that is not Stuart Copeland and not Sting.
He looks like a Pixar character a little bit.
Oh.
I guess anybody could be.
Now I feel bad for Andy Summers fans.
Yeah, I'm really,
like,
you know.
Why are they taking a dump on this guy?
Well, he is a huge fan of the show.
He is?
He loves
Darn it.
He loves the program.
You've lost him.
Yeah.
Aren't you cold? Speaking of cold.
I am cold. I like being cold when I'm talking.
You moved to the wrong city.
That's why it's been so hard for me since I got here. It's so warm.
There are a number of people that say when they move here and are here for a while, 99% go, yes. I hate the warm weather. And 1% are like, ugh, this is perfect.
I
feel like so many people are like, oh, I don't like that.
It's disillusioning that it's always the same. That's what I find about L.A. Like, it's, I just have to think, it's January.
Yeah, it's...
And it's cold, sure, but it's, you know, I'm from New England, you're from Seattle, there's seasons in Seattle.
Yeah.
Rainy. And easy. Yeah, easy
nice.
Joke.
Way to go.
Easy. Finally giving it to Seattle.
Haven't heard that one. Why don't you go back to your city and enjoy your $14 billion tunnel or whatever it is.
Oh, there you go. I was going to go with racism.
Oh.
Yeah, the tunnel.
$14 billion racist tunnel.
Yeah. You worked with... Wait, is Seth MacFarlane from Boston?
I don't know.
Or Rhode Island? He just has an affinity for the East Coast. You were in TED and East Coast.
Well, Massachusetts has a great tax break.
Is that why you shot in Massachusetts?
Yeah, I'm almost positive. Yeah.
But then the accent... I mean,
I think it dovetailed into that.
Is that
I
right?
I believe so. I might be totally wrong.
It's interesting.
But it also helped that, you know, Mark Wahlberg's from Boston. So.
Yeah, I am. How's it going?
Yeah. He's going to kill you.
I'm going to break your fucking neck.
Yeah.
I'm going to put my thumb in your eyeball.
It's good.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Sorry. Oh, so loud.
I get so excited when people affirm me.
Yeah, I thought he was going to kill me when we were...
Is that right? Intense motherfucker?
Well, no, he's really nice. He's just quiet and really very, very nice.
Yeah.
Really, really, like, truly cool.
Yeah.
And, it's like he – but he – his arm could
– Well, big, big muscles.
Yeah, he would rip – he could he's got rip those... your arm out and beat you with your arm.
Right.
And my arm.
He's Chewbacca.
He can rip my arm out and beat you with my arm.
And if he wanted to, he could have – remember when he said he could have stopped 9/11? Remember he made some comment like that?
Did he really?
He made a comment. It was in the news for a little while where he was like, if I had been on that plane, it would have gone down differently.
I also think...
Do you think that's maybe true? I mean, big fucking guy.
Mm.
Or...
He boxes like an hour and a half a day or something. So
no.
In theory, you could say, yeah, he probably would have...
Give him a tumble.
I mean, it wouldn't, but that's quite a...
We can stay out of
stretch.
This area. I'm not going to make
but
either of us
there
answer
is,
that.
But I do think there is that thing where you're like, okay, well, if I was there, this is what I would have done type of thing.
That's for everything.
Yeah.
That's for like, if someone said that to me, said that to me, we love playing that game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm playing that game and I've never been in danger in my life.
I was watching a little bit of that Celebrity High Dive show.
I don't know it.
Well, you missed out.
It's just
type Celebrity High Dive. And it was on Fox earlier this week. And
are they just diving?
They're just doing like Olympic diving. And I was just like, ugh, these people aren't as good as the Olympians. They look terrible. And then I thought, oh, that person's up on a really, like a 40-foot platform.
Yes.
Doing flips. And I thought, oh, man.
And there's no bounce to it.
I'd probably just crap my pants up there.
Of course.
I would jump off so they wouldn't see it coming down my leg.
I wouldn't jump off. I remember the humiliation of being a child and climbing down the high dive ladder. I did that. I was like, sorry.
It's as embarrassing as... Yeah.
As any move I could have done.
Yeah.
It was too. I made the mistake of walking and looking down. Don't do that.
Don't do that.
Leap. There's water down there, boy. I'm talking to my old self.
Oh, boy. Oh.
Hey, boy.
Hey, Pete.
It's the watering hole.
Peter, come here.
I would love to talk to little me.
Listen, if you're going to go up to that quarry, you've got to impress your classmates. You got to jump in there.
Swing on the vine.
Jump on out.
Get out, dry yourself off, and tongue kiss the girl that you like.
Okay.
All I remember is being
I pray.
So doughy. I was so doughy.
Was? Yeah.
Wow.
Booyah.
Seattle, me.
Your producer
Seattle,
is way into
me.
Celebrity diving right now.
Oh, she's watching it. She's watching the shit out of it. So Mark, well, I almost called him Marky Mark.
Well,
he
no,
would cut my throat if I said Marky Mark.
Probably.
Yeah.
I would.
I mean.
I would do it for him. That's how much I like him.
You're just saying that because he could physically destroy you.
Yes,
so
huge.
He was surprisingly funny in that film.
See The Other Guys?
I did. I saw that. Yeah,
he was so good in that.
Yeah,
and play. You realize how? I mean, this just shows you his what he can do.
Well, he commits.
Yeah, he's commit, and he has a great innocence to him.
Yeah, you're right.
That is strangely rare,
which makes Boogie Nights so sad. To me.
Yeah.
Boogie, I don't like, I love P.T. Anderson, don't like Boogie Nights. It's too sad for me. Just seeing him be like, I'm going to be a big, bright, shining star. Every time I'm like crying, I can't handle it. I can't handle it. And I know where it's going. It's
you
going
know
to
what? A few
Julianne
years from
Moore
now,
and Coke.
When you have kids,
yes.
Go back and watch it with them and see what they think.
You think, you watch Boogie Nights with your children?
Yeah, they're 8 and 4.
Put it in. Here comes the big Willie, guys.
Oh, this is a really great part. Singing.
Oh, no.
Yeah, no, it, no, I'm not. My kids haven't seen it yet.
You also worked with one of my, this is, I wasn't planning on asking you this, because I'd like to keep it about Joel McHale.
Oh.
Not Kevin McHale. Joel McHale.
Once again.
Is that another well-trodden?
Nailing.
Fuck
nailing
me.
The
Fuck
jokes.
Fuck everybody. Fuck everything.
Which Kevin McHale is the question?
From the Celtics.
Oh.
I'm just proud that I know
a basketball
player.
I'm talking about the
player.
One from Glee.
Oh, really? Kevin McHale from the Celtics is on Glee?
No. But there's another Kevin McHale.
I don't care for that.
Look it up.
You know
Kevin
what?
McHale, Glee.
I'd like to go back in time and have you know that it's I was referencing good. Kevin McHale from
I know
the
what
Celtics.
You were doing. Yes.
It's better then.
Yeah. No, no. I've never... I'm surprised you didn't go with a McHale's Navy joke.
Oh, I don't know what that means.
You don't know what McHale's Navy is.
Is it some? Is it a sex move?
Yes.
Dude, it was real hot. I got the
McHale's
Navy.
Navy is a sex move.
Yeah, I understand. It's where you're doing a missionary.
My ring finger's broken, so I can't do the McHale's Navy. There he is.
Oh, it's the one in the wheelchair. Is that? Are we allowed to say that?
No, you can say it.
Is he legit in a wheelchair, or is it pretend?
It's pretend. You never watch Glee, do you?
I've never seen Glee. I've never seen Celebrity High Dive.
Well, that was just a special.
It was one special.
I think it was one of those things where we're like, all right, guys, make it. And if it's not too embarrassing, we're going to make a series.
Yeah, it was like a little
Terrell
pilot.
Owens was a one of the hosts.
I don't know who Terrell Owens is. He's a football player, isn't he? He's a bald black man. Yeah, I got it.
Oh, yeah. All bald black men are football players. Okay. Yeah. Nice sleep down.
Quiet, Kevin McHale. You played sports, which I find quite interesting.
Yes.
Because a lot of our ilk don't do it. My aversion was to the competitiveness. I didn't like humiliating other people. Not that I could.
Are you competitive?
No, not really.
Is he competitive?
No. I don't check the ratings, that sort of stuff. I don't see how we're doing against other people. I am competitive in my career a little bit. You know what I mean?
Yes. You have to have ambition to do what you've done so far. Which is
why when Birbiglia did my show and he was like, I'm just trying to do good work and things keep happening. I'm like, bullshit. There's a fucking demon man in there and yeah. He's cutting throats.
Right. Yeah, and especially if you're saying that. Especially if you're like, I just want to be an artist. And
right.
If that was the case, then you would stay in your hometown. And
yeah. And you'd paint in your attic.
Not that I don't love Mike Birbiglia, but...
And I'm not shitting. We've taken this past Birbiglia. He agreed with that. You know what I mean? I said that to him, and he partly agreed. And people could say that to me as well. I'm this, like, friendly guy. But you don't get this far in show business without having something...
To uproot your life without... Like a promise of any money or job is shows, you know, initiative
right.
that is not usual.
Yes.
I think.
Extraordinary initiative. A buddy cop movie starring us.
A what?
A buddy cop movie.
Extraordinary initiative?
Starring us.
Sounds like an instruction booklet. That's a terrible name for a book. No, our
it
our
sounds
buddy,
like a Scientology book. Is
it
what
should
it
be called
like, with a volcano.
Lanky and albino.
Oh, which am I?
Oh, you're both. Lanky albino
and Joel McHale,
and his normal looking friend,
and his left of center.
No, I am lanky as well.
I guess we're both lanky.
Very white as well. I went to Hawaii recently, and I spray painted myself with zinc.
Zinc?
Well, you know.
I thought that was just for the nose in the 80s.
You could, well, now all sorts of
if you
want to
put zinc on your nose and go like, hey, homo, that's what you do. Like you're like a jerk on the beach.
Hey, homo.
I'm not good at it. I don't know how to do it. A kickstand at you, homo.
Hey jerk. Hey. Where were we?
You were telling me about sports and your ability to play football.
I didn't say that. No, you're leading this in again. How dare
you? Oh, no, we were talking about competition.
Oh, yes.
And then I was pointing out the parallel to your ability to play.
I guess there have to be some artists, though, like what Birbiglia was saying, that really don't care. Then they must just stay where they are and and just do their thing without...
I think that's true. I play guitar and sometimes write little ditties. And I never play them for anybody. And I one time said that to a musician friend of mine. And he was like, well, I think that's the perfect expression of guitar playing, is that you have no need to present them. They're not good. You know, they don't do anything really for me. I'm not like, this is amazing. But, you know, that I think speaks to your point. The idea that we would just be in Vermont and would have a farm stand or whatever, would do something regular.
Yeah.
And at night have profound connection, intimate connection with our art and have no need to really
right.
cash it in.
Yes.
LA is a cash-in town.
Yeah, well, art is commerce and commerce. Yeah.
Here, you mean?
Yes, in the entertainment business.
Yeah.
It is.
You get your chips in your Seattle. You get all your chips play. Then you come here and you cash them in and then you see if you can invest and make more money, basically.
Oh.
Do you like that?
No. I was seeing it more as an opportunity to make money at what you love doing.
Yes.
Yes. No, believe me. When I wanted to, you know, have a life that was comfortable, I hope I'm trying.
Mm.
Really, I want a helicopter.
You have 9 jobs.
Thank you.
Get a helicopter. I know you landed a helicopter.
You'd
in the
be surprised.
And it's black
how
and
expensive
matte.
Helicopters are.
Just borrow it from Kanye.
Does he have a helicopter?
He'll toss you the keys.
I bet
he'll go.
Does.
Hey, community, and toss them to you.
Yeah.
He doesn't. He thinks you're Kevin McHale from Glee, but he calls you
this
community.
I'd be like, thank you. You know what the show is. That's great.
Could you tweet it?
Could you please? Could you get your girlfriend to retweet it?
Are they yeah. married?
No, she's still married to the other guy.
No, I don't know anything. Do you like pop culture? I know you host The Soup. I love you on The Soup. You're wonderful on The Soup.
God bless you.
Do you?
Thanks, Pete.
You're welcome.
That's so nice.
Oh, well.
You're great on this podcast, by the way.
Do you listen to this podcast?
No, I didn't know you had one. You kidding?
I just broke. I can't hear myself.
I thought this was the inaugural cast.
No. But I did. Oh, there it is. There it is. There
you
it is.
Pound tables a lot.
I love pounding and banging and being like
it's
a
really
child.
It's really loud when you have the microphone on the table that you're pounding.
I know. I've never gotten a complaint about it.
Until now?
Until now. People are going to be like, Joel,
open the
wound.
I have very sensitive hearing.
Yeah.
I'm like Daredevil.
I went in a sensory deprivation tank and I was like, this is for me. Have you done it?
Nope.
You should try it.
How do you have the opportunity?
You can go to Venice or go to Joe Rogan's house. Call up Rogan.
Go up to Joe Rogan's house.
Go, I want to compare your arms to Wahlberg's.
Right.
He'll take the bait and then be like, wow, we're here. And then just go in the
Can
basement.
Can we go in the sensory
tank?
But I would be like, if I were in Joe Rogan's the whole time, I'd be thinking, oh, Joe's right outside.
With a pocket watch.
And you float.
You float and you just try to shut off your brain. Do you have the overactive comedian brain?
Nope.
You don't have a problem being in the moment?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Wait.
Hmm.
I would think the overactive, isn't that when you're just trying to fall asleep and your comedian brain is going? It's when you're on stage when you're like, ah, things are good now.
Things are clear.
Right.
The structure is as
that,
it should
is
be.
Is that what it is?
I'm wondering. I guess one of the examples that came up recently was at a funeral. At a funeral, comedians are kind of like have a hard time just being in the moment and like just kind of being like, it's a funeral and it's sad and let's be sad. Comedians, even at a funeral, are kind of like, why are they going to bury a suit? You know what I mean? Like, this seems like a waste. Or you know what I mean?
Or I would say the opposite.
Tell me.
That so many comedians are miserable.
Mm-hmm.
At a funeral, they'd be like, finally, people.
That people are right where I am.
But they probably would feel compelled to get up on stage and do, you know,
and do the eulogy.
8 minutes.
Can I do the eulogy? You didn't really know him. I know everybody.
We did cover a thing called Best Funeral Ever, which was also a special on TLC. Yeah.
Is that real?
Yeah, which I think that once again was kind of like, let's do a special, and if it goes great,
you did it.
Series. No, we made fun of it.
Oh, that sounds like a dystopian, like, you know, in the
it
they
does.
Try and make a future and they're like, best funeral ever.
Right.
After Shoot This Baby on Fox. You know what I mean?
Right,
and you're
right,
like,
right.
No wonder it's Judge Dredd. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, here comes Judge Dredd.
Yeah. Yeah.
That really happened? Best funeral ever?
Mm-hmm.
My question about The Soup, after I said you were wonderful on it, is that's where we were.
You're so great.
I am pretty good. I brought it back to this question.
Well done.
Do you like pop culture? Because I actually did Best Week Ever, right?
Right.
Similar-ish.
Yeah.
And I don't give a shit, but I would just learn about it. And I'm not trying to out you. I'm just saying I would learn about it and do jokes about it because it's easy to do jokes about.
Right. I was never the guy that would get People Magazine.
Yes.
Or I liked pop culture as much as I liked the monologues of my favorite late night hosts.
Right.
So that's to me, that's as I need to know that stuff or as much as I need to know that to hopefully be able to write decent
monologue jokes.
Right.
So that's kind of, but I was always never like, can you believe Jessica Simpson's mom jeans?
Right.
There was never any of that. But then working at E, you kind of seeps into you. We get just from working on the soup, we get, you know, a little rundown of what happened that day. And then that is obviously where we, the jumping off point to write jokes. So,
By the time it gets to you, I'm assuming it's clips and stuff. You're not sitting and watching an entire episode of like my yokel father.
I used to.
Really?
It was physically impossible to watch everything, but we would divide it up equally. Hmm. And I would go home and watch hours of television.
Wow.
And it got really depressing. This is the job I always wanted.
Yeah.
And now it's like all of a sudden you're like, oh, you like Captain Crunch? Eat 4 boxes.
Yeah.
See how you like getting
every day. And then it's your job and you're watching it actively. I think people like reality television and pop culture because you can just kind of be passive and watch and be like, who cares?
But when you're active.
And you're like, is that an angle? Is that a bit? Is that a joke?
Right, is that a clip? All that.
It's too much like this. It's not enough like that.
Staff that's doing it for me.
Is that right?
Bless them.
They must be at this point.
Well, and they're really good at it, too.
Yeah. But you get the jokes, and I'm assuming you reword them, or you still...
Yeah, I'll reword them, or I'll write a couple myself, or I'll be like, this is how we should kind of structure the show. Mm-hmm. But KP Anderson is a...
I know KP.
He's great, and he and I are very like-minded in the way... How do you know KP?
Just see? Laughing at
I know, you
ignored
don't,
it.
I'm not going to even I love acknowledge
that.
It.
It's oh, so KP? Great.
Yeah, whatever.
It's so great. The first time we met, you punched me 4 or 5 times. And
I did.
It's the best.
I felt slightly bad about that.
It was the best. It made it on the show. I knew when you were doing it. You think I was baiting you to ask?
No.
I wanted you to know that we used it.
I still want to see the show.
I'll show you whatever you want after this.
The sizzle reel?
I'll show you the sizzle.
What's happening with the show?
It's been 5 months. We're supposed to find out this week. They have to tell us this
How
week.
Often have they told you that?
That they're going to tell us this week?
This is the week we're
it's
telling
in. I've been told it's in the contract.
Oh.
That they're. I mean, it's been 5 months.
Yeah.
We were shooting
that. That really does lead you to, like, how many problems does it have?
Oh, God, it happened. Mormon Jesus.
Reworked over.
You cut me
over.
To my core.
No.
No, you're right. I know. And you were in it. So,
God bless you.
So it's hard waiting. But what were we talking about? The soup. So I'm wondering if it's fun for you. It must be fun. To have a joke brain where you can come into a show that you're running that you've been doing so long, like Conan, that it kind of gets to an instinctual level. I'm not saying you saunter in and just do it, but you can come in and look at a joke and kind of figure out just like what a couple words are wrong, you know,
or the angle is wrong. At times, or I just sit there going like, well, I hope somebody else comes up with something good. Because I don't know. There is a thing where, like, you get these Lindsay Lohan stories over and over and over again, and she's a news-making machine.
Yes.
Then there is a thing where you're like, how do we tell another Lindsay Lohan joke?
Mm-hmm.
And we find a way.
Somehow.
Somehow.
Somehow you find a way.
We slog through and we get it. By but enough. I like – I would like – I want the show to be, you know, hopefully – creative and you not just doing the same thing over and over again. But I mean, the nature of it is, yes, we make fun of reality shows and
yeah, but you do it very well.
Yeah, well, you have The Bachelor. You see something like The Bachelor, and you're like, this is gold. Every other minute, there's mm-hmm. a clip mm-hmm. of a desperate woman who signed papers and went to an audition to be one of the Bachelorettes.
Right? Isn't that absurd?
Yeah, when everyone criticizes, when it was like, how can you make fun of a person like that? Because I was like, because that person invited cameras into their home,
yes.
signed a release, and is being paid.
Right. And is aware that they're being viewed.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot of like, oh, honey boo-boo, that people are making a lot of fun. It's like, they invited the cameras into her home.
Right. Like the American Idol bad singers or whatever.
Right.
They waited in line all day. It wasn't like they were like, hey, dummy, get over here and sing this song.
Yeah.
What happened?
And he was like, oh, you're making fun of that person. And then, they waited days.
Yep.
And it's pretty well known now that those if you're in those first three rounds, either you're incredible or you probably are escaped from a hospital. Because they get really weird.
Yeah.
I mean, that's part of that first few weeks.
I wonder if it is at that point. Did you see God Bless America, Bobcat's Both Ways movie? It's one of the big things that he's kind of against, I suppose, is making fun of people who are clearly mentally ill.
Right.
Are singing. But he also admits that he's part of the problem. He made Windy City Heat, which is a 2-hour making fun of a handicapped person.
Right.
So he's not preaching necessarily. But there is something to be said where it's like somebody comes out and does, she bang. And it's like,
dude. He's like, well, that's on, you agreed. I get, but if you, I think there's, I don't know, it's become somewhat of a disclaimer if you're like, welcome to the disturbed people's part of American Idol, where we will make fun of this.
Right.
And, so it, I guess it buys it back a little bit. Not really. That's like someone saying like, well, I know I'm racist. I just don't like, you know, like, it's worse that you know.
Right.
If you actually are, actualized it, then you're just, I don't know.
Right. No, I like it. I like
it. This is kind of heavy.
Get into it.
Well, you know, one of the Beverly... The Desperate Housewives of Beverly Hills or whatever. One of the Housewives of Beverly Hills, their husband was like abusive and then he committed suicide, right?
Mm-hmm.
Horrible story.
Mm-hmm.
And I was being asked about it in red carpet. So like, what do you think of his death? And I was like, well, maybe they should have stopped inviting cameras into their home years ago and handled this. But people, even they don't even see it. They don't even see that as an issue.
The cameras.
Yeah, being like, oh, well, that's just part of their lives.
Right.
How can that be that they won't be there?
Well, like John and Kate, their marriage is falling apart and all this stuff. And it's like, maybe pull the plug on this.
Yeah, maybe not. Yes, I couldn't agree
But more. They get hooked on that thing that aren't we a little bit guilty of, is that juice of celebrity?
Yeah, I think because they're being paid now. Now they're famous. Now they're making a lot of money. They get appearance fees. They get all those things.
It's like, what cost? I just watched There Will Be Blood with Paula Tompkins. We did this special episode, and I really loved it. And to me, have you seen that movie?
I'm trying to think of I can't remember the line. I was going to scream it.
I drink your milkshake?
Nope. Keep going.
I've abandoned my boy.
That's it. I've abandoned my son. Man. Just edit that all together.
Yeah, that will make it seamless.
Yeah.
There's so many shots of him.
Amazing.
He's the best. Turning his back on his son to tend to the oil.
Yes.
So to me, that movie is a little bit of a cautionary tale. It's like intense ambition and drive for not celebrity, but oil and money and seclusion.
Mm-hmm.
And at what cost? Like, what are we giving up? You have kids and a wife, and that's lovely. And then I have to be aware of, like, what am I turning my back on? Like, when you see John and Kate losing their marriage or whatever, and probably a better relationship with their children because they're touring around selling moose or whatever the fuck.
Moose,
you know, for her stupid...
Moose meat, actually. It's weird. John and Kate's...
Moose meat.
Moose.
Eat it.
Wild moose. All right, yes.
At what cost? So they're gaining a shit ton of money. It's like the devil. These are like old-timey devil takes your soul stories.
Yeah.
I'll give you fame. I'll give you shit fuck
it
of money.
It is that. Be careful what you wish for.
And yes. And then and we're participating in the same matrix.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I guess we have to be careful of that. How do you balance it?
Well, I think with something like reality shows, a lot of the times they get people that John Kane, not necessarily, but they get kind of crazy people because they're provocative.
Mm-hmm.
Like when – I'm going to vomit. No. like when The Real World started, it turned out that if you just cast one really crazy drunk gal and one really – that's what it all becomes about because they're sucking all the energy and focus.
Right.
And then they come out with that show Bad Girls Club, which is just – they're like, well, just get all the crazy women in one house and stock it full of vodka and throw away the key and keep the cameras on. And so reality television can sometimes – I think it feeds off that. And it's pretty –
and it is the worst of us.
Diabolical. Yes. So – yeah, it's weird. I mean,
watching it and the people doing it, it's all bringing out bad.
Cycle. Yes.
Yeah.
I think if you're not a well-adjusted person before, if things start happening, if things go well in like an entertainment career where you begin to get recognized and you get money and things like that, if you're not well-adjusted before that, your problems will be and your idiosyncrasies or whatever they are will be magnified and they will be fed, and so those things get worse.
Yes.
If you're if you're a normal person, and you're stable and you have people around you that can go, hey, jerk, stop it.
Yes.
Then you're in great shape. Like someone like Steve Carell is the salt of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
He's wildly successful and couldn't be a nicer person.
Because that's who he was before he got thrown into the machine.
And I think that's something also to do that he had fame a little bit later on.
Mm-hmm.
But then you get someone, I mean, Mark Wahlberg is a great example. I mean, he got fame very early,
mm-hmm.
but he's really a good person.
And Matt Damon, who you also worked with.
Yes, he became famous very young.
Yep.
And, I mean, getting that, the Oscar so young. Same thing with, he's just, I was like,
never
wow.
in the tabloid.
No, he's just a dude, as he says in most of his interviews, he's just like, he's just a dad.
Right, and, a boring dad.
Yeah, boring dad, and not that boring. Yeah, freaking movie star.
he's so, Jason Bourne boring.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's all sorts of other factors that go into it, obviously. But,
right. Well, how do you manage it? Because
it is so difficult. thank you for asking.
Look, here's the thing. You're far more famous than I am. You know what I'm saying? And Matt Damon is more famous than you are.
What?
But
are you saying the Community is not as popular as the Bourne movies were? Yes.
But the thing is we all have to deal with that. I'm saying that here's the thing. Like, I think you start getting a certain amount of luxury, and
right.
and you're tended to.
Right.
Most days, someone does your hair.
Yes.
And applies makeup to you.
My kids.
Right. You're driven around places.
Yes.
Right. One of the first things you acclimate to is free food everywhere.
Right.
Always craft services and whatever you want,
yep.
sort of thing. Because there's a lot of money on your shoulders. If you want a fucking egg white omelet and a bottle of Perrier, it's going to be there.
Right.
So then.
And then if I don't like it, I throw it in their face and I go, do you call that hot?
But here's the thing. John Mulaney, who told me the story of when the Rolling Stones, Mick Jagger.
Yes.
When Mick Jagger was on SNL, he wasn't rude, but when he would ask for something, he would ask for it the way you ask your phone something. Like, if you took your phone, you're so used to people waiting on you, you just take your phone and go, get me pizza. You know what I mean? There's no, like, excuse me, sweetheart, thank you, or whatever, being
right,
kind.
There's not.
Hi, there. Thank you. I'm just hungry. Is there any pizza? You just go, pizza. You just yell it.
He doesn't go, sorry.
Yeah, exactly. So how do
he just goes, pizza.
Pizza
so
near,
he sounds like,
nearby.
He has, like, a brain injury. Pizza. So he's like, awesome. This guy, oh, that is great. He goes, coffee. Warm drink. Now.
Green tea.
Virgin.
He just wants a virgin.
He just wants a virgin nearby.
On a virgin plane. You, do you actively try to remain a decent dude? Do you actively go, do you look in the mirror and go, fucking Carell today? Don't let it get to you.
Well, I don't have the same sort of pressures that someone like Steve Carell has.
Sure.
But no, my thing is I try to be nice to everybody, other than when I'm making fun of them on the soup. No, but mm-hmm. I try to be polite to everyone because I think, well, maybe if that person thinks I'm polite, they'll watch the show.
Oh, that's so funny. Thank you for your candor.
Just for, like, if you're not, because I don't know. It's just like you should always be nice to everybody in general, I think. But
I was thinking about it. I saw somebody.
And then there's somebody like, that guy was a jerk when he came in.
Sure, of course. So actually what you're saying is you have selfish intent for being kind.
They're selfish, but I think you should definitely try to be decent,
right.
No matter what.
But I
feel like you get more stuff being decent most of the time, but then if you're a total dick, you can get stuff too.
It's
it's horrible.
Well, you know,
it just has to be righteous.
This is evolutionary. It's the idea that, like, being good, being nice, keeps you in the clan, keeps people feeding you. You know what I mean?
Right.
But it's actually not from necessarily a genuine place. And I'm guilty of this as well. I'm nice to people because I'm afraid of losing love and losing favor and then losing the life I want. You know
right.
what I mean? I was thinking about this on the ride over. I saw someone with Guarini hair. Poor guy. He's Guarini hair. Justin Guarini.
Oh, yeah.
From American Idol.
Yeah.
And then I was thinking about Justin Guarini, and I was like, that kid was white hot at one point.
Yeah.
And I'm not shitting on him. But they did that movie From Justin to Kelly.
Yep.
And then I was thinking about the set of From Justin to Kelly, and he's sitting in my mind in one of those director's chairs. He's got his glass, and he's reading the script, and some PA comes up to him, and this is all fantasy, and he was a dick. Let's say he was a dick. And then where is he now? And that PA is like, Justin Gordon is an asshole sort of thing, and he should have been nice. Like,
right.
You never know when's it going to end. I think pretty famously, Zach Galifianakis said to January Jones something along the lines of, like, you should be nice because this is over very soon for you.
Yeah, that's true. No, I mean, I don't know about she's...
Yeah, I love that show, and
but
I love her on that
great,
show.
But that's a great... I mean, yeah, because I think people don't understand how quickly it all can just...
It could go away.
...disappear. And you hear... when you hear stories about people being jerks, if you hear one story about a person being a jerk, maybe there's a... I say there's a slight chance it's true. It's probably that person's problem. Mm-hmm. But if you hear 100 stories...
Yes.
That's... person's a jerk.
It's probably true.
Yeah.
I've heard the same story, some stand-up, I don't remember who has a joke about, like, if one person says you touch kids, maybe they're lying. If 1,000 people, Michael Jackson probably touched them kids. You know what I mean? That was his point.
Yeah.
Still, who knows? Who knows? I'm here to be like, still, who knows? Who knows? We don't know what happened. We don't know. He made great music.
Yeah. In Donald Glover's stand-up, he has this incredible joke where he's like, yeah, he may have done it, but, you know, it was worth it for the music.
It's so funny.
It's a pretty good
That's
joke.
Really, really funny.
Donald Glover.
How, what are you after now? Because we're talking about show business, and let's say you lose everything that you have right now. You know, I'd say
tomorrow.
Like
an aneurysm?
No. I just mean in your career. You're still okay for money. You're not going to lose your house. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
How do you know how leveraged I am? No. All right.
Because I watch Leverage.
Oh. That's what that show's about.
It just tells you.
Here's how much money he's spent.
I can't believe it's not more popular. Yeah. I just see your bank statements. It's great.
Wow.
But you wouldn't stop working. Like you,
no.
You would never want to stop working.
No.
You're always after another thing, I would imagine.
Yeah. I mean, I really, I mean, I don't know. I mean, first, well, is I have to tape the soup tomorrow morning. So making the soup funny is a big priority, but in the next couple weeks it'll be Community is relaunching on February 7th, NBC, Thursday at 8 o'clock. So that's going to take up a lot of time promoting that and hopefully getting people to watch it. But after that, then, you know, we don't know if that's coming back for a fifth season. Mm-hmm. And in the meantime, I'm trying to get into movies.
Mm-hmm. Which you have been.
It's here and there.
It
yes,
stops being about the money, though. You know what I mean? Like, you maybe I'm wrong, but you do Ted, and it's not because you're like, what's the money? Like, the money at some point, it becomes an insult.
$25 million. That's what it was.
If it's too low, you're like, that's weird. But if it's in the right area, you want to do it. You want to be known as a film actor.
Right.
So you take it.
Yeah, well, and also that was a terrific script, and I would cross many a minefield for Seth MacFarlane because he knows what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Really a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
There's an example of a guy who's ultra genius
and stayed good.
Stayed very good. Like,
I love to hear that.
He's great.
I you know what makes me concerned is that he looks so good. Like, he got his shit together. He's tan and his hair looks different. I don't know what happened to his hair. You look at Seth MacFarlane, that's like, yeah, we're doing season one of The Family Guy. He's like a schlub, and now he's always in like black suits, chest tastefully showing.
Someone's
always throwing him a cane. Throw me a cane, and then he does a number.
Top hat.
Yeah, he's always up to something.
But you think about, I don't know, we all kind of, like, I feel like a lot of the times through at least people's 20s, they were like, I can still eat like anything I want.
Mm-hmm.
And then you hit 30, and you're like, I can't eat the way I want.
Right.
I've got to get my shit together. So,
all right. And anyway, have one cheat day.
Yeah, other than the cheat day, which I love.
Which day is it?
That was usually Saturday or Sunday.
It's
glorious.
You mix it up. You really
depends on what's going on. Like, my kid turned 8 on Sunday, and there was a big party, so we had cake.
Okay,
and I ate a lot of cake.
Did he have ponies?
Yeah, we had pony burgers.
Came in at the birthday party.
What?
I meant, did you bring ponies?
No,
well,
you
to
bring a pony in. You let the kids. It's like a living pinata. And
there's a type of candy in them. This delicious meat.
Yeah, they don't like
They don't like to have to, you know, to slaughter it or render it, and that's messy. But
boy, they have to learn.
Once that thing gets on the spit, oh.
You
horrible.
Use the bat they hit them with. As, okay.
Do people eat? I guess people eat horse and ponies.
Some places.
Yeah. It's weird how, like, we see that. People are like, oh, how could you even imagine?
Right.
And then in India, they can't. The fact that we eat cows.
They're God.
The bulls. Or they're sacred. Like, are you insane?
Right. So. I think I've often thought that. I was like, it's weird that billions of people can think we're eating a sacred animal.
Right.
It's not a deity, but it's a sacred animal.
Right.
And we eat a million animals an hour in this country.
Mm-hmm.
1 million an
Does
hour.
Does that include, like, bike riding and eating a bug? I'm just curious. It is weird. Like, my brother lived in...
Why don't they launch an attack on us? Like, stop, because they're pacifists. It keeps going.
Right.
Your brother?
No, but he lived in China for a year, mm-hmm. and in the remoter villages where they eat everything, because mm-hmm. when you don't have Much. Enough food, you'll eat anything.
Right.
And
that's where you get your marrow.
His descriptions... Mm. No, but marrow... I think marrow's great.
Well, that's because...
In an osobuco? Mm.
Sure, or you go to Animal, you get the marrow appetizer. Yeah. Sure, okay.
It's good for you.
He's like, they will, and his descriptions of the live market where they're selling the animals are hair-raising.
Really?
Yeah.
Because they're just in cages.
Yeah, I mean, I can tell you one, that it's even hard to...
He's already sad.
I'm already sad.
So this is going to be, great. So he didn't buy one. But they were selling baby deer, and they keep, because there wasn't any refrigeration in this village, they keep them alive. But what they do when they're born is they break their front legs.
Oh.
And they walk around on the, so they cannot run away.
Holy God.
It's so, I remember the first time he told me that. I'm just going to go over here and cry for an hour.
Holy shit.
So.
There's no Christmas. That's the worst. I knew I wasn't even making a reindeer joke. Yeah, it's so sad. It strips me of Christmas.
That, I was like, and so people are like, "How dare you tell that story?" Joel was like, "No, he went and saw it daily."
Yeah. Oh God.
Yeah.
I've been thinking a lot about meat lately. It's kind of fucked up. I'm very at odds with it. I eat it, and I also think it's very fucked up.
I think we should go kill something just
to do it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, an animal. I always. It's fine. You go to that In-N-Out. You drive up the I-5 very much, like towards San Francisco.
On
I-5?
No, not really.
Well, there's this perfectly positioned In-N-Out Burger about 4-hour drive from here. It's the most perfectly positioned In-N-Out Burger. And after that is like, it's the biggest, if not the biggest in America, it's easily the biggest in California, the biggest slaughterhouse.
Really?
It's just, and it's miles of head of... Of steer, I guess, and I don't know what, but it smells like death. And you're like, glad I just went to In-N-Out Burger, because if you come back the other way, you'll be like, oh, I smell death. I'm not going to the In-N-Out, but on the way in, it's packed.
It's a punchline.
Yeah,
the smell punchline.
The smell.
Punch but line. I mean, does that bother you? By the way, I mean, like, I ate a steak last night, and I really enjoyed it.
It's great.
It was really good.
Yeah, I don't
but
think.
While I was that. Eating, I was like, this poor fucking thing.
Yeah, that didn't stop you.
No, it didn't.
And you're going to do it again.
At some point.
You're going to do it again.
Aren't you? You're like berating me like
it
a
just
cop.
Reminded me. Oh, do I need to pick up something for dinner?
It just made you hungry. This moral quandary. Ooh, marrow.
Oh, boy.
You have two brothers.
I have two brothers.
Middle. You're a middle.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? Speaking of, I can show you a horrifying picture of food. So I go to this great butcher and he sells me a whole chicken and I roast a whole chicken. Thank you. But I was like, what else do you have? He's like, oh, we have this thing called a guinea fowl and it's like chicken, but I think it's better and it's more flavorful. And I'm like, great. So then he goes, here it is. And, so there it is, folks. It's a skinned, bird.
It looks exactly like a rubber chicken. Like Steve
it
Martin
looks like
use.
A rubber chicken.
It looks exactly like a fake rubber chicken.
Yeah. I mean, that thing, it looks like it...
It has a face.
Woke it up from a nap.
On the ride home, they look at you and go, hey, Joe.
Are you really going to do this?
It's not too late for me.
I'm growing feathers as
I
speak.
I swear to God. Watch. One's coming out, Joel.
I never talked this much about meat in an interview before.
Or nutrition. I just can't stop. What people are eating is very interesting to me. Those are the questions I like to ask a lot. Like, what kind of soap do you use?
Soap.
I want to know this stuff.
Boy, whatever my wife is very concerned about soap, so I get her soap. Or inevitably, I take it from hotels.
Oh, nicer hotels.
Yeah, no, I break into crappy hotels and take their soap. No, because growing up, my parents took every single bar of soap that was available.
Yes.
To the point now when we go and stay at their house in Seattle, there is a tray of guests' shampoos and soaps in our bathroom. Like, oh, that's, I remember that. But to this day, I still feel guilty if, like, I'm in a hotel room and there's, like, 9 bars of soap that are distributed around the room. I'm like, I really only need one. I'm going to be here for 2 nights.
Right.
And then take the others. Yeah, you got it.
I've done that before. I've only done that recently because I just stayed at a nice hotel and they had nice soap.
And I feel I forget. Soap is not something where I'm like, time to get some soap. It's kind of like I'd have to make a separate trip because I couldn't hold that thought
right.
in my head.
You have to remember that you need soap.
When I go to Rite Aid, I'll be like, ah, right.
But your wife is concerned about soap. Does that mean she's into, like, organic soap?
She likes the organic soaps.
But yeah.
Yeah.
I'm into it. You put it in your skin. Is it getting in there?
Do you, I don't see much of a difference between...
No, I don't. I think it's more that, like, it's like, I bet your wife uses organic, or whoever does your laundry.
That is,
I'm very pleased with myself.
Yes. Who does yours? Is the question.
I do my own.
Right now.
For now. But I use organic, you know, soap or whatever.
And do you notice a huge difference?
No, but the difference is I'm not sleeping, let's be honest, 10 hours a night rolling around in the chemicals that are in Tide. You know what
but
I mean?
But you did for most of your life.
Oh, of course.
And do you think your life is different?
Because of that?
Do you think your brain is clearer? Or do you think your skin is better?
I don't know. You don't worry about that with your kids. When you have a kid, you're like, I have this chance to make this kid like the most... I'm sorry to talk about your children's colons, but, like, you could not line it with the shit that's lined in mine. Like, there's 1979 Taco Bell. It wasn't open. But, you know, bullshit in my colon that I'll never get rid of because that's what I was eating when
what
I
mean
was...
What you're never going to get rid of?
It'll just be in there. Like,
there's. You mean there is a almost 40, a 30-year-old taco in your colon?
Remnants of it, I'm sure. I'm not sure.
No, that is not... You would be dead.
I'm sure.
This is... No.
It's like when John Wayne died.
There's not just food hanging out in your body.
There's 8 pounds of shit in your colon right now. Is that a myth?
That is such a myth.
It is?
All that colonic stuff. Do you ever watch Bullshit with Penn and Teller?
They went over this?
Oh, yeah.
Please tell me.
So, if you... And Dr. Drew is the greatest... proselytizer of this sort of thing.
Of non-colonics.
He's just like, you...
Which are like enemas for those of you who don't live in L.A.
For people with disposable income and a lot of spare time...
Do you want some water?
The colonic people are going to kill us.
Have you had a colonic?
No. Where they're like, you had 4 pounds of feces hanging out in your body, or could it be you just prematurely removed it?
Right.
Which is what is happening.
Yes.
Because... People who have stuff actually hanging out in their body that gets into their system, they will die from infection.
Mm. But if people do things like the Master Cleanser, whatever, which I'm sure you've heard of, where you fast, if you and I fasted, we would remain shitting. That's the weird thing.
No.
You don't think that's true?
Because if you watch something like Survivor, they don't start shitting until they win their they all stop shitting, and then once they get one of those challenges where they're like, you're going to win a beer and a hamburger, they eat it, and they immediately like, I got to get out of here.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Because I don't know with what I'm saying.
You're just saying stuff out loud.
You got
things with cleanses, too. Here's the thing.
Yeah, hit it.
If you eat healthily, that is cleansing your body.
Yes.
Every day.
Every day.
It's not like human beings, cavemen were not like, ugh, I've had a lot of saber-toothed tiger lately.
Right.
I really need to cleanse.
Right.
I'm just going to eat this cayenne pepper and syrup and water, and I'm going to for a month, and then I'm going to go back.
Right. But he was also drinking clean water and eating an animal that was eating its natural diet, you know what I mean? And then he also wasn't eating that every day.
Are you saying we're not drinking clean water in this country?
Oh, absolutely not.
Oh, my gosh.
You think we are?
Yes.
There's chlorine and
we have
fluoride.
Access to the greatest, cleanest water system in the history of the world.
You think so?
Yes.
I love this how is mad a conspiracy. You are. I love how mad
but,
you are.
No, I just like, if you eat healthily, you will be well cleansed.
Okay. I'm into it. So with your children.
With my children.
Do you give them sugar cereals?
No.
Do you give them, is it like organic? If your kids came to my house and I gave them a Pop-Tart, would your wife stop me?
No.
No?
I don't think she would.
On the ride home, would she go, did you see fucking Fat Val Kilmer gave our kid a goddamn s'mores Pop-Tart? He's going to be up for 2 days.
And I'd be like, old Val Kilmer? Oh, talking about Pete, right. No. Boy. No, it's weird with my kids because they're not like, give it to me, give me sugar. They're more into, they would like to just have chips.
Savory.
Yeah, they would like to have salty, wonderful chips.
Salty, fatty stuff.
But they're not like they're not ravenous for chocolate. It's weird. I think as a kid, I think
I was just always hungry. I feel like in the past there was just less food around.
Or how tall are you?
6'6".
So you were a growing.
I was growing.
Consume a yes, kids.
No one understood. I would go to McDonald's and like with a friend. I'll never forget this. I went and the dad was like, "What do you want?" And I was like, "I want a Big Mac. I want an 8-piece chicken McNugget. I want a large fry." Like ordered like a fucking fat adult.
Wow.
And he was like, "No, you're getting a Happy Meal." Like he said no. Wow. And when I told
and
my
how
mom,
hungry you were,
I ate it and I was like, "You cock." I didn't even know the word cocksucker, but it came out of me organically. When you cocksucker, and I don't even know what that
means.
What
did your mom do?
My mom was like, "You're not hanging out with Timmy Greenspan anymore."
Yeah,
and that's true. I didn't.
One of my brother's friends, his dad made my brother after like taking, it was like, my dad was my older brother was hanging out with this guy, and then the dad's like, "Come on, we're going to our." He had to stop by his business, made him work for like 4 hours on like cleaning up. We took him to McDonald's and then did not pay for my brother's meal. Bought his son and my brother was very young. He's like, "So what can I have?" And he's like, "You can have anything you want, but you got to buy it."
Oh my god!
And my dad then confronted the dad
really
and shamed him.
As he should?
Yeah. I mean, it's just like, I remember just like, what is the thought process going through this dude's head?
Yes. That's insane. How are you with confrontation? Are you okay with stepping up to the plate and...
Fuck
and...
you. See? Confrontation. Depends on what it is.
Do you harbor it? I used to have about a 1 week turnaround with a girlfriend. If she upset me, I would tell her in 7 days, which is insane. A lot of what I work on in therapy is dealing with things in real time.
Right.
And I'm only now, 33, only now getting to a point where I can kind of do it. And I think I actually attribute it a lot to being more comfortable in my life and having less to lose.
Yeah.
So not needing to be nice to everybody. So if someone's a cock to me, I can be like a little bit mean back to them and then not worry that I'm not going to be able to eat tomorrow.
Right.
Are you okay with like somebody is an asshole to your kids or somebody's rude to you? And can you fire in real time?
It depends on the situation.
Can you remember a time when you were?
Well, like, when I was playing softball, when I was like in my...
Sauceball?
Sauceball.
It's where you throw meatballs that have so much sauce on
them. You throw the meatballs into the sauce and then afterwards you just eat them. I basically challenged. I challenged the guy to fight.
Is that right?
During a game.
Look at that. Fight is on the always
there you
questions.
Go. But
you challenged a man to a fight.
I mean, I was just. I got into his face, and he.
Tell me why.
I just didn't like the look of him. No. It was a co-ed softball team, which can always gets like. Are we having a social event and? It depends on the team. Sometimes different teams are like, "Hey, we're just having fun. We're drinking beer." Other teams are like, "We're going to fucking win this thing."
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that they were one of those teams. And this guy did not – he hit a decent shot and or a decent hit, but it was definitely like a double. But he just ran over our dainty she was not dainty, but she was not a large person. But he should have slid, and he just ran her over and hurt her. And I just became
livid.
I was ran and got into his face, and I told him, yeah, it was one of those moments where I'm like, all right, this is going to happen right now, and I'm gonna I'm an adult doing this,
yes,
and I'm going to probably be sued or something. That wasn't going through my head.
I understand. You don't remember giving the order. You just started running, and you're like, this is what's happening.
Yeah. But then there's other situations where, like, last Christmas, we went into a Starbucks, which is a coffee chain.
Uh-huh.
From
Seattle.
Yes.
Rainy Seattle.
From Seattle. They have a number of locations.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they had a single occupancy men's and a women's bathroom. Mm-hmm. Usually it's just one. Mm-hmm. And the men's was very occupied. And my son was at DEF CON 1 with going to crap his 4-year-old pants.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, I'm just going to the women's. And we went and locked it. He did his thing.
Wait, you were in the room?
Someone started pounding on the door.
Oh, God.
And like pounding, and then I walked out. I was like, "What's the problem?" She goes, "I think that I don't think men should be in the women's room." And I was like, "Well, my son," I go, "the men's was occupied, and my son, I shouldn't even have to explain myself, but my son was going to crap. Would you rather have him crap on the floor?"
Yeah.
And she goes, "Well, I just think that men should be in the men's room." And I was like, "Well, they're not men. So I got you there." And but there was a time when he was like, go further.
Yes.
But then I'm like, go. Oh, people are going to see me yelling at someone.
Yes.
And so that's when I was like, I regret not going harder.
I regret you not going harder.
Yeah.
That is a situation that I fantasize about happening just because you're so right. Like if it had been you, you could have been like, fucking relax. Even then, I think you could be like,
yeah, I'm just like, but her pounding on the door.
Yes.
I mean, it made me livid, but there's like this crowded Starbucks.
Yes.
And I think as I walked in, guy was like, oh, hey, I love your Kardashian jokes. Uh-huh, so I'm like, be careful here. And so I feel like I was too guarded. I should have. Because I feel like there would have, I don't know.
Did you have
all
like
these fantasies go through your
of
head?
Of course.
Like, people would have leapt to their feet and applauded. No, but it was a moment where I was really pissed.
I took the shit out of the toilet.
Yeah.
But then I said, could you put this in the men's room for me?
No problem.
And I sauceballed it right in her face.
I wiped it on the faucet. I'm sorry.
What do you think we're doing in here?
Yeah. But my friend Ethan has one where I can't. You actually. You should have my friend Ethan come and tell the story about the time that he was wronged at Dodger Stadium.
Really?
It is a story that will make your.
Is it Ethan Hunt?
Nope.
Is it Ethan Hawke?
Nope.
Is it Ethan Suplee?
No.
Is it Ethan
From? Nope.
You gave it to me and then took it away.
I said, would you like a bite of this? You took the bite and during the slapped it out of your face.
Yeah. I like that. I'm into that story. What happened with the baseball one?
I'm not going to tell you. He's got to tell it.
No, not Ethan. I understand that's also a baseball one, the softball one.
Oh,
what did you say? Do you remember any poll quote? Were you like, you bumbling motherfucker?
What did he say that he said something else that pissed me off? And he's like, oh, well, she was in the way. And I came back. We're like, well, now I'm in your way, or some sort of like snappy comeback.
Well, now I'm in your way.
Catchphrase, dude. It was not.
And you could hear the cameraman laughing.
Like now, like it seemed like cool. And now at the time, now I realize how embarrassing.
Sure.
It sounded. But he backed down.
Of course. Most people.
But I thought, well, you could have gotten killed there.
Mm-hmm. You mean you.
Challenging some stranger to fight. Now I think, like, if you get into a fight with anybody or anybody's willing to fight you, it's like they're probably taking MMA. They probably know MMA.
It's funny that you say that. I know guys. Who told me this story? He does a lot. I think it was my friend Ethan. He does a lot of mixed martial arts.
And Ethan?
Ethan, no. No, you have to guess.
Sansaberry?
Nope. See if you're going to do it. You have to.
Ethan Salazar?
Yep. Ethan Salazar, brother of Angel Salazar.
Ethan?
You're still guessing. I told you. I told you were right.
I got Salazar.
Yeah.
Shut up.
That was correct.
All right, okay.
So he told me, he was like a crazy, I can kill you with my thumb, Mark Wahlberg, black belt,
right.
MMA guy.
Don't mess
and
up.
He told me that a lot of the people in his class would go to bars and just try and start fights. Basically, you know, like any sort of offense to see if they could goad someone into coming at them for some real life, like just two, you know, it's going to be two moves. You put your stupid lumbering lamb chop arm up to hit them and they're already in your kidneys.
Or they've asked, they've picked it with the wrong guy.
Which would be awesome.
Who has a weapon. And all of a sudden, your training
doesn't matter.
Doesn't stop knives or bullets.
Like Indiana Jones, the guy with the sword, and he just shoots them.
And that's when, it's because you're,
and you're a dummy.
And then you're like, what happened? Well, he wanted to see if he could fight that guy. Well, he found out.
He could fight the guy. The knife had a different tale to tell. Something terrible. Have you ever been in a fight?
Yeah.
Growing up?
Yeah, a lot of them.
Is that right?
I mean, I don't know. Four or five of them.
Okay, that's a lot.
Yeah. But there were always, you know, when you get into a fight as a little kid, and I don't know about little kids now because I feel like they're all, but much like you can play tackle football as a second grader with no pads forever and ever because you're smaller bodies. But I think the last real.
Oh, that's interesting.
I mean, the last time I got into a. Wait, the last time I punched someone was in high school, so there you go.
Okay.
But then in college, you know, like on the football field, fights would break out between guys.
Sports fights.
Yeah, luckily, you know, you're in full pads, and it would happen where guys would really start throwing down, and they would rip helmets off and things like that.
Really?
Yeah, and that's bad news. Now they have really clamped down on all that stuff, thankfully.
Where is the comedian urge coming from? Parents together?
Rage! No. parents are together, yeah.
Two brothers?
Two brothers.
So you're not
there? They're together? Why? Everyone's always like, so what's the tragedy in your life that you have to tell jokes?
Yeah.
Are you hiding behind?
I don't know if it needs to be a tragedy, but it, like with me, with the improv, realizing I just need a lot of attention. Mine actually came, I think, just to open up a door to another possibility, from an over-loving mother who taught me that everything I think is wonderful and great, and that really gave me a lot of green lights to kind of try anything. And that's where I got the preposterous ego required to go, I'm going to talk for a living.
I like how you blame your mom. Okay.
I thank my mom.
Oh, well, there you go.
And then
it's not what you said off mic. But, okay.
And then add into that, I had a dad who I wanted to listen to me very badly. Like, he worked a lot, so I wanted to, like, kind of be engaging and silly. And they would fight, but normal fighting.
Right.
But then I would do my soft shoe to – how you doing?
No, I'm just making sure because I got to pick up my kid from preschool. Not for a while.
Okay. I would diffuse tension by doing ridiculous things, like putting my face in the mashed potatoes because everybody was tense in my family. Oh. So that's not that fucked up. That's pretty normal, standard American stuff.
Yeah.
So when I ask that, I'm not like, who beat you up or whatever, but do you know, can you identify what you get from doing show business?
Yeah. Well, let's see. No, I mean, my dad's a really funny guy.
Mm-hmm.
So I always wanted to tell jokes with my dad, and he always kept things light for the most part until I really did something to piss him off.
Right.
I mean, my dad's the type of guy. We used to play tennis, and when I got better than him, he would just combat that with jokes and start screwing around. And I just found it endlessly funny. That's why I think that scene in The Royal Tenenbaums where Luke Wilson's character is melting down. He's a professional tennis player, and he's going through a breakup.
Mm-hmm.
In this scene, it's televised, and he just takes his shoes off. I think it's the funniest thing. So
yes.
And there was something I really thought, because my dad was a businessman, and I really thought, I mean, I don't know. I really thought, oh, well, when I get to a certain age, I'm just going to have to stop doing – I'm just going to have to become a businessman, and that's what I'll do.
Right.
And I think it's as simple as – I found something I really liked, which is like when I first was on stage, I was like, oh, this is really fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I was not great at school. I didn't like going – I didn't like being the teaching part. I liked the social part tremendously. But I really found like a home. That and in sports, that's where I really enjoyed myself. And mm-hmm. I just thought, I always say it kind of flippantly, but I was like, I'm going to do this until someone tells me to stop mm-hmm. or that it all runs out. Because everyone always is saying, you got to get a real job. You should get your real estate license, blah, 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 blah. You should do all these things. And I know that a lot of people do that. But there was a side that was just like, I'm going to do this until I run out of resources to do it. Mm-hmm. So I also had a couple of very influential friends that were also performers that were encouraging. And ultimately, my parents, at first, they were like, oh, boy. Mr. Drama. And then they were like, great, just go for it.
When you started making money or when they saw you were serious about it?
I think I was offered a scholarship out of high school to go to to have a drama scholarship. And as soon as they saw, they're like, wait, we're going to save money somehow? You should be an actor.
That's great. And that, yeah. and now are they living?
Yes.
And they must be incredibly proud.
Yeah. And they've benefited.
Cash
money. No.
Cash envelopes every day.
Good restaurants. They're great. I'm very, very lucky.
Yeah.
Two parents that are together and
you still love each other?
Yeah.
Is that right? I love hearing this.
Yeah, they're Jack and Lori. They're
old Jack and Lori McHale.
Jack and Lori McHale. No, they really, you know, you look back and now when you have kids, you're like, you start referencing the old playbooks. You're like, oh, they did that. That worked.
Yeah.
That didn't work, but mostly this worked.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So you're like, oh. And like the way that my dad, like they purposefully moved to a certain time. You know, so it was like, oh, the schools are good. And then
yes.
You start realizing, oh, they did a bunch of stuff for us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. My parents did the same thing. Yeah. They moved to a town with good schools and stuff. They did all that.
Ironically, I didn't like school, but
yeah.
They were really good.
And do something now that doesn't require any schooling. Well.
How dare you?
What about your brothers? Are they – I always find it interesting people with siblings become, you know.
Well, one of my little brothers is also a performer. He's an Episcopal priest.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Shut up.
He gets up in front of me. I was like, you're performing.
I'm
an audience. Every
I day. Say that all the time. That's a type of show business for sure.
Oh, yeah.
My mother wanted me to be a youth pastor, and I'm a comedian, and she says close enough. That's what she says. Like, yeah. It's very, very similar. He's an Episcopal.
Just less cursing.
Yeah, I know. I would love to see a pastor that was like, let's fucking talk
well,
about
this.
Well,
there's that shit. Great Mr. Show sketch
uh-huh.
where he's like, we will fuck the devil. Like, we will.
That's like, great.
He's just like, the devil can kiss my ass.
That's great. Why wouldn't people talk that way? I love that. I did a series of tweets that were a little controversial that Joel Osteen, you know Joel Osteen, television.
Yes.
He
now occupies he has a stadium.
Yeah exactly.
Like a dome.
So that my point was, he goes out, it's on TV. He kind of preaches the same thing each week, which makes him kind of fun to watch. I've enjoyed some Joel Osteen in my time. So I'm also watching him and making fun of him because it's fun, because he's just so gentle. He's just a lamb of a man, and he's such a sweetheart that I tweeted that he got off. I didn't even mean it mean-spirited. It was a quote, and it was attributed to Joel Osteen when he gets off stage. It was like, that's how you do it, motherfucker, you know, like to himself quietly.
You got criticized for that?
Well, somebody was like swearing and making fun of a servant of the Lord, and then she wrote, blocked. And I was like, you don't have to block me. I won't be at replying you. You can just unfollow me. I'm not going to harass you and insist that you laugh at the joke. You don't get to block people, 12 followers.
Please tell me you retweeted that.
I did retweet it, and I faved it, and I took a screen grab, and I faved that.
That's one of my favorite Jimmy Kimmel bits is celebrities reading tweets, like hate tweets at them.
Oh, that's great. That's very, very funny. So your brother is a
pastor. Yeah, he's married to a Lutheran minister.
Really?
Yeah.
So a lady Lutheran minister.
A lady Lutheran minister. A lady.
A lady Lutheran.
She's a lady.
Yeah.
She was
I didn't know how
the queen.
I didn't know how progressive these churches were.
Oh, all right. Yeah.
Well, it has to be pretty progressive or somewhat progressive to have a female minister.
Lutherans?
Yeah, Lutherans.
They have all sorts of female ministers.
Do they? Lutherans are the Garrison Keillor peoples.
They're the people of, they're his people.
I've wrongly assumed that they were pretty traditional.
I think they are, but, you know, after the Reformation.
I've heard of it.
I guess some churches haven't had women as leaders, mm-hmm. and that's changing as well.
Does this pastor brother look like you, by the way?
Yeah, he does.
That's funny.
He's smaller than me, skinnier than me, but He definitely looks like. And
I
he
would
was
love
always
to see the guy from the soup holding up the Eucharist, like, and Christ at the end
maybe
of the
we
meal.
Maybe we should just switch it out one time, and I'll fill in for him and just tell Kardashian jokes. Now I would like to show a clip.
Turn your hymnals to the page Celebrity.
The Book of
Board Diving.
Toddlers and Tiaras.
What's your other brother do?
He is he's an independent contractor a lot of the time. For a while, he was working for Seattle has this green garbage company, but right now he's a contractor.
Mm-hmm.
So he
you go home and see these people?
No, I ignore them. Well, the Episcopal priest lives in Oakland.
Oh, okay.
So we had a gather. We at Thanksgiving we got everybody together in Northern California.
How are you? Are you rubbed? Do people tease you for your status? Or is it acknowledged? Is it fine? Is it normal? Every step of the way, it's interesting to watch my family acclimate
right
to something like the E-Trade baby or whatever. Like love talking about that, and it changes things. And then sometimes it can start to create a little bit of a weirdness with other family members.
They're
cool with it?
My family's been pretty good. They get a lot of free stuff, so that helps. No.
Sailboats.
No, they've been really good. There's never been like, you've changed so much.
Yes.
Not yet. I mean, I plan on turning into a dick, a bigger dick.
A real monster.
No, they've been really supportive.
Uh-huh.
And that's been, it's been great. I mean, it wasn't always like, how dare you? I'm trying to think
Or Mr. Fancy Pants.
Oh, yeah. No, they'll do. Oh, there's teasing like that.
Sure.
And then I'll be like, sorry, I have my Porsche mechanics on the line. Can I? What? Let me.
That's great.
Excuse me, Porsche.
I understand. And it's a Cayenne, so it's not really.
How dare you? Cayenne's really nice, actually.
It is. It's gorgeous.
Nice car. But they're the fastest SUV on the road, I think.
Is that what you have?
Mm-mm.
I'm not asking you what you drive. I was just worried that I was psychic in a moment and guessed that you drove that.
What, because I said the word Porsche?
And then I said Cayenne.
Man,
and
it's not like you're psychic. You went like, he probably drives a Porsche. Let's guess on the SUV. He's got kids.
Your brother's name is Tom.
No.
Fuck.
But one of my brothers has a T in his name.
I was ready to be so much more right than that. One of my brothers' son is named Tom. I was ready for that.
We covered this psychic that put out a book recently, but she walked into Kelly. She was on Kelly and Michael.
Uh-huh.
And she was just, I love these psychic, it's such a brilliant plan where they just are so confident. And they were like, you have an aunt.
Yes.
She's dead. And then they're like, no, she's alive. Why am I, they go like, why am I thinking of your aunt?
Mm-hmm.
And they'll be like, I don't know. Does your aunt have any siblings? Any other answer? Yeah. How are they? Well, she had cancer. Right.
Uh-huh.
And they would just be like, it's incredible.
Cold reading. It's an unbelievable skill.
Yeah.
I think it's very impressive.
It's very impressive.
Yeah.
The balls to have.
It's just, balls.
Just stand
it's
in front of a
balls.
People.
Yeah. Someone in your family recently passed. Like
right.
I could do it to you.
And you'd be like, okay.
And
not recently.
On your wife's
right.
side. Not recently in our
terms. On my wife's side. Okay, yes. Okay, yeah, recently.
On your wife's
right.
side, her father wasn't well, and I'm seeing water.
Nope.
See, I wouldn't be good. I'd always be laughing.
No, but if you say, why? But then you'd be like, I'm seeing water. And then you say no. And they go like, why am I seeing water?
Yeah, why?
And just like,
what is it in your family?
Fill this blank in for me.
With water.
And then you'd be like, well, I had a friend whose mom drowned or something.
Yes,
and like,
yes.
Right, okay.
Yes, yes, yes.
She has a message for
her name
you.
Is Ellen.
No, it's not.
But her, the spirit
it's
that
an
she's
e,
with
it's an e,
is an E
it's
sound.
An e.
There's an E in there.
Sondra,
or an E
like,
sound.
Her name's Sondra.
Sondra. Sundry. Sundry. Various sundry items. She wants.
No, but then they always
you.
Be like, she's proud of you. And it'd always be like, and she sees you and she loves
and
you.
She loves you. Keep
you.
Doing the bead business. Are you selling beads?
No.
Beds? I might be hearing her wrong.
Bread?
Bread?
No.
Carbs?
No.
Carburetor?
No.
Vehicles?
No.
Do you drive to work?
I'm in human resources.
You drive to it, though.
Yes.
Okay, so that's what she's saying.
Hold on one second.
Take it.
Hey.
Noted.
Yes, I'm going to pick them up. Yes. Yeah. I'm in the middle of this podcast. Literally. No, not at all. But I knew I was going to text you. But yeah, I'm going to get them. All right. Love you. Bye. That was my agent.
Yeah, nailed the joke.
Can we talk about your wife?
Yes.
How'd you meet her? What's her name?
Sarah. We met once briefly in college as a mutual friend, and then later on, then I saw her. I really met her at on the set of a movie.
Really?
She's not an actor. Her mom was an extra in the movie, and her brother recognized me from this show I was on and said, you should meet my sister. She's right over there. And I knew who she was.
Huh. Oh, you remembered from the first meeting?
Oh, yeah. No, but yeah. No, she was very attractive.
And so you, oh, my God.
So that's when I turned on the train. Then I asked my friend. I was like, is she dating? Can I ask her out? My her friend, our mutual friend was like, ha ha, good luck. And
because she's smoking.
Yeah, she's smoking.
Smoking hot.
Say that. Then we started dating. After that.
Where was your first date?
The Swingside Cafe.
I know it. I don't know it.
I know you don't know it. Because you think I was going to go, you do?
In Seattle. You've outplayed me at every turn.
I have?
No, that one was real. So you went to the Swingside Cafe, had a tasteful dinner.
An Italian dinner.
You were light?
Well, here's the hilarious part of this whole thing. No, I had no money. Mm. And
well, you're filming a movie.
I stole. No, it was like the worst independent movie you've ever.
It was a documentary about broke actors.
It was a feature. I'm not kidding. It was a feature film that was shot in 2.5 days. Feature film.
Whoa.
I was even told, because apparently during that time, you could borrow a Panavision camera. Mm-hmm. This is before digital, for a day or two to do testing with this camera to see if you're going to use it. So this is what these people did, and just shot them.
They borrowed it and were like, we have like 2 days.
And I think they had it like call them, like, okay, we're not done shooting the movie. And the Panavision was like, what? You're shooting them in how? Oh, and they apparently people were like, okay, go ahead. And they gave it to him for like another half day or something like that.
Oh, my God.
And, yeah, I mean, just terrible.
A bad, bad movie.
Terrible.
I just saw a sign up in my neighborhood that said, like, film being made, just like plain white paper. We need actors, models, dancers. It's your time to shine.
Oh.
And it said, from the director of Day in L.A., Day in L.A. 2, Haircut Time for Baby. Like the weirdest. I wanted to, like, tweet it or something, but I didn't want to, like, somebody see it and call or
that
something.
Would have been that would have been really great.
I helped
you
him out.
You should have done that.
I helped him out. So you're doing this terrible movie and then you go for a tasteful Italian meal?
Yeah, not that night. It took a couple. I think I went to her house and she invited me over to her house with she was living with her mom at the time.
Mm.
And
so you had a house date first?
We kind of hit it off there and then yeah, then I went and picked her up.
You met her mom very early then.
Very early. I met her mom on the set.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So you're charming to the mom as well?
Oh, yeah.
You buttering up that
Turn
mom?
Turn that on.
Turn it on.
The charm on.
Turn it on. Find out how much charm would kill them. Back it off a little bit.
Oh, but the thing, I had done this, I had just gotten an agent in Seattle, and I had shot a Ford ad. an ad for the Ford Aspire, and In my brain, I was going to make tons and tons and tons of money. I was like, they're going to run this. I'm going to be rich. Mm-hmm. And so I had not received a check from it. But in my mind, I was just like, well, that's money's coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And I began spending money that I didn't have. And I think I racked up these huge, like, restaurants. I was taking Sarah out all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So, it was like great dumb luck because they did start running the ad. I barely made it into the ad. I was like a far away, but they still had to pay me.
Huh.
And it wasn't nearly what I was hoping for because now after being in LA and being in the commercial world, you realize how few commercials get on the air.
Mm-hmm.
I could have really had to
been up the creek.
Yeah, I would have been that. Yeah, I would have been a huge credit card.
Were you about to tell
the story?
Oh, that was the story.
Oh, and then a guy died.
A guy died?
Yeah. Oh, you're just trying to improve the story.
Yeah, and that's when I saw the face
and
of God.
That's when
the Navy SEALs burst into the restaurant. Oh,
did they do that sex move they do, the McHale Navy?
Yeah, they did that, man. Except one of their fingers was broken.
Oh, so they couldn't quite do it.
Couldn't
quite tie the feet in a bow of some sort. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
They didn't have the right material.
Yeah, it's hard to do. So you date.
We date.
How old are you?
21.
Oh, this 22. You met her young.
Yeah. Oh, I got married when I was 24.
Shut the front door and lock it. There's a madman outside.
Shut the front door and lock it.
You got married when you were 24?
Gee willikers.
Who are you, Bono? Who are you, me? I got married when I was 22.
You did?
Don't fuck with me, fella. Is that fake interest? You son of a bitch. You have beat me at this fencing match. You've won.
I actually didn't know you were married. But I did that over dramatically. So.
No, I know. I know.
How long were you married for?
I was married for 6 years.
My. So 20, not, not
22 a, to 28.
Not a short amount of time.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I thought you were going to tease that it wasn't very long.
No, 6 years is... Isn't it between 5 and 7 when most divorces occur?
Well, they call it the 7-year itch, don't they? Because we had been together 1 year. We got married 6 years. So it was 7 on the nose. Please don't be uncomfortable. She did fall in love with somebody else. They got together and he was also married and now they're together. I think in Staten Island.
Wow.
So I win.
Do you feel like you becoming famous has, you're kind of like...
I'd like to say that it doesn't cross my mind that they watch the Super Bowl and hear my voice as a baby going like, you left me, bitch.
You should just redo one of those commercials.
I've been trying since day one. I've been like, can the baby please just say you left me, bitch? It would mean so much to me. I don't actually
but
think my wife is a bitch.
You're not just recognizable my for ex-wife. That.
No, it's true. Every time I do a little thing, I hate to admit it. It's a petty thought, but it does cross my mind. When we broke up, when she left me, she was like, I'm aware that I will see you on television and it might sting and I'm going to have to keep that to myself. Because she loved me. She just didn't want to be with me. You understand? I actually don't think she was a bitch. I think she did something kind of, in the weird way, courageous, getting out of something. She did it in a shitty way, but it was the right thing to do. So it didn't last. And I do clearly have some anger because when I book something, I'm like, I wonder if she's going to see it. Fucking dum-dum. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you got married super young in show business, and you're with this person still.
Yeah, I really like this person.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
So you had done some dating up until you were 24.
Yeah, this is going to sound awful. Bleah. No, that sounds so bad. This sounds awful. No, I feel like it's funny because when I met – because I had never had a long-term girlfriend.
Mm.
And most of the – it sounds so horrible. But I did not – when I dated, I did not date for very long.
Mm-hmm.
And I was usually – I became not very interested pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
This is so nice to the girls that I've dated. Mm. So sorry those that will never hear this first-time podcast. No. But I was always – I would always get really annoyed and then I would spend like – weeks trying to figure out how to break up with them and then
it's hard to hurt people. You want to be
right. It wasn't good times. Then I met Sarah and I was like, oh, totally not annoyed by her at all.
Oh God.
And I'm continuing not to be.
Mm.
And she looks like that all the time.
Mm-hmm. You've yet to find the lighting where she looks like
a
gargoyle.
So I was like, all right, let's just keep doing this.
So you went from somewhat casual dating to the opposite. You got married.
Yeah.
How long did he date?
2 years.
That's a good amount. I mean, like, you
and you dated one on yours.
We dated one. Yeah, that's probably why I didn't.
We're still good. We're still good. Everything's still good. Good.
We're good.
Yeah. But I did tell her before we got married. I said, if you marry me, you'll have to wear a collar. No. You will have to move to a city that is not this city because there was not at that time and there's not, you know, it's not LA or New York,
right? And she was okay with that.
She was okay with it. So.
And she's had to correct me if I'm wrong, she's probably had to,
she supported me definitely for the first,
yes,
3 years,
as did my to a certain extent my ex did as well, which is partly also why I'll never like fully hate her or anything. I'm very grateful for that time that we had. It was a special time. And she also moved. She moved with me. She moved to Chicago and then she moved to New York. So I'm moving this person around. So I understand if it's not for them, it's not for them. But has your wife, because of show business, had to take it on the chin a couple times and just been like, well, fuck.
Yeah, I mean, with like when Community was really, I mean, when Community is in, when we're shooting, I'm not around.
Yeah,
I mean, it can be 70 to 80 hour weeks.
Shit,
it is really busy, and then traveling and promoting and things like that take me away.
Mm-hmm.
It is nothing compared to being a soldier,
right,
or someone doing a job like that, or
it's
someone.
Funny. Yes.
I mean, it's not even in the same stratosphere because I get to go home at night and all those things, mm-hmm. and I get paid well for it. Mm-hmm. So it's not the same, obviously, even close. But nonetheless, it is something that, you know, I'm not around as much.
It's funny that you have the soldier one is a great comparison, and I have that in my mind too, where it's like when I'm in a relationship, I'm like, I will be gone some of the nights, but I'll also be around, if you're like around during the day, all of the day. You know what I mean? Like you're kind of like, right. And if I were a pharmacist, it might be the same part of distance. You know, it's just in chunks or whatever.
Yeah.
Like we get it out of the way. And then when you're not doing Community, I mean, I imagine you do have more time.
There's more free time. I mean, in this, yeah, this is actually, I've had more free time in the last a couple weeks than I've had in years.
Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, because there was a time when, because usually I was shooting something else. Mm-hmm. I mean, the soup is always happening, but I was shooting a movie or something like that. So it would get really busy. I mean, to the point, I remember one, I was like, I didn't have a day off for 4 or 5 months, and I was gone every weekend, and my wife was like, this is awesome. Thanks. But it's, yeah, I've learned to manage that better. It's impossible with the, I mean, because the hours of Community are what they are.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is very involved what we're doing. And so it's a good thing I like it because I really enjoy doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, that there's been times.
Right.
Yeah.
Didn't the Chev Chase leave?
Yes.
Took off. Didn't like it. Didn't you? He told me a funny Chevy Chase story, didn't you? I feel like he did something about his odor eaters or something.
What?
I feel like he told me some weird story involving feet smelling and Chevy Chase.
What was that?
I don't remember. I'm so sorry.
We would always, because if he was barefoot, because we would get barefoot for some reason,
yeah.
We would say, Chevy, you have the toes of a corpse. What's wrong, man?
That's right.
He's like, don't look at my toes.
Were you guys pals, or is he really as unlikable as people sometimes say he is?
The hours are really hard. I mean, the hours are very long.
They'll turn anyone into a Chevy Chase.
I've texted with him since, and so we still communicate. But I think the hours were really they were long and.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, I remember him saying something about he did the show because it was for the money. You know, like he was like, right. I have a family and I want to give them money.
Yeah.
So I do this job, which to me, you're saying you enjoy doing the show.
It was a dream come true to be on a show that I liked and that I was shooting, mm-hmm. and that I got to be a cool character in. I mm-hmm. mean, I don't see it as a chore in any way. Mm-hmm. I really do. Can't believe my good fortune.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, Chev's been in the business for a long time,
mm-hmm.
and I don't think he pulled hours like he has pulled hours like this on films, but not this long.
Right.
And you know, he says that he would say stuff like that in interviews, but then say how much he liked the show,
sure,
and then how much he liked the cast or how much he didn't like the show, and so it was kind of all over. I mean, mm-hmm. he would say in interviews that I was doing a poor impression of him, and I'd be like, it's not really, is it a poor impression of you? So he would always be. I would bring that up.
Yeah,
and he'd be like, "I was joking," and I would be like, "Hilarious, nailed it." But I wouldn't bring it up like, "I can't believe you." I would bring it up as I would always bring it up jokingly.
Yes, yes, yes.
So his character. I loved his character on
mm-hmm,
the show.
Mm-hmm.
Pierce was a great character, and if you watch that our Dungeons and Dragons episode, I think he should have been nominated. He was so good.
Yeah, he's great. He was always a hero of mine. It's always been a dream. I want, this is my lofty dream that I shouldn't admit, I want them to remake Family Vacation, and I want to play Chevy Chase's part. I would love that.
Oh.
I would do it for free, you know what I mean? I just love that corny dad thing.
You
so
should just
much
shoot it yourself.
where can I get a Panavision camera for 2 days?
All right. Well, Panavision is right down the street here in Hollywood.
Anyway, I love
it. They probably will make it. Remake it.
I bet they will, and I sincerely doubt it would be made. I don't even know if I'd be good.
No, it'd be good because then Chevy could make a cameo, and you're 6'6", so it would be look. You know, you could be the son.
Is he a Tallman?
He's 6'4".
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, 6'3". Yeah.
How interesting.
See?
So, wife, so happy. Kids, living life. Happy. I'm happy to hear about the relationship. I can't believe you were so young and remain happy, and it really does me well. We live in this world of people divorcing and people coming in.
I need to make an announcement, though.
It would be great for ratings. Does your wife okay? I mean, you're a good-looking man and a famous man. You have to get some female attention. Not a problem?
A lot of female attention, just not on Twitter, ever.
You just don't respond?
Joking. No, joking. Yeah, I mean, my thing is, like, you need to go towards if you want to be with the person, you need to go towards them all the time. And if you,
What does that mean, go towards them?
I think people, a lot of the time, relationships fall apart out of neglect a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
They don't tend that garden enough. And so you just have to make sure that you're actively, pursuing that person. And,
right.
And them back to you.
You mean not taking it for granted?
Yeah, not taking it for granted at all. I mean, with kids, things get really hairy. But mm-hmm. You really got to be active. And the highs are really high. And the lows can be lower. I mean, when you have kids, you know, it becomes life and death. So, and because you're raising these people. So, and people, as far as like, I mean, my wife has been insanely cool because I've had to, because my character in Community makes out with all sorts of people.
Mm.
And I think it's like, if I were in her position, would I be as cool? And, but she'll be like, how was it? I'd be like, it was good.
Mm.
It's fine. And she'll be like, all right. She's great.
Because she's confident that you love her. She's not worried. Yeah. Well, yeah. That's great. That's actually the perfect answer because that speaks to that pursuit that you're talking about.
Yeah. No, I one of my major goals in this life is to please her.
Oh,
fuck you. Thank you very much. No, really. I want her to be happy.
I mean, fuck you in the best of ways.
But it's like if you mess around, I mean, it's just like I always someone made this analogy years ago. My friends make me fun of it, but it's like lighting a match in a forest in the summertime, where it's like all it takes is one little match to set an entire forest on fire if you screw around. So so don't light that match,
even if it's smoking hot. And keeps tweeting at you,
right? Yeah, but it was like, but just imagine the dynamics of people tweeting at you, like coming on to you.
Yeah,
it was weird. Like, okay, it's likened to like work construction guys whistling at women that are walking along the street.
Yes.
And it was like, has there ever been a situation where the girl goes, what are you doing?
Right.
Let's do something.
Right.
Let's get together. I was like, yes. I don't know. It's a weird. Yeah.
Will you ever get guilt and do a little fave? Moist Panties 69 is like, Joel, I want to sit on your face.
Is that me?
I want to sit on your face and watch the entire box set of Band of Brothers. And you've had a couple of Chardonnays and your wife is asleep and she's got sleep apnea. And you just have a guilty little face.
Sorry, I already seen it. Maybe the Pacific tweet.
Well, you're not going to see anything.
Someone said, Gillian Jacobs said to me, some girl came up to me and said that she would like to have sex with you until your pelvis turns to powder or something like that. And I was like, that sounds awful.
Yes, it does.
That sounds like a threat.
Yes.
And keep that person away from me.
That's great.
But I can't imagine. I mean, it's like, you know, I'm 41 on cable and I can't imagine what it would be like if you're like, think about Justin Bieber and they get tweeted at that guy.
Wait, what happened? What gets tweeted to the Biebs?
Yeah, it must be crazy.
Yeah, I imagine so. But then he also gets a lot of prayer requests.
Yeah.
And then he gets like a lot of...
like, are you Velma or Daria?
Yeah, where can I get some moose meat? Please help me. I need moose meat ever since John and Kate stopped selling it. We always end the show. Oh, yes. We got to do speed round.
Yeah, so I got about 5 minutes.
Is that right?
Yeah, is that all right?
Yep, of course it is. Thank you for...
Yes.
I didn't want to tell you how long the show normally goes because I didn't want you to text me
back.
We
went for 2 hours,
go
right?
Go fuck yourself. Yeah.
About 2 hours.
Yeah, 2 hours.
Please edit this down to something interesting.
We never do.
Oh, great.
Those are the last questions.
Lightning round.
Yep. God? Is there a God?
Yeah.
Okay.
Great.
You believe in him?
Yeah.
Which one? The one your brother talks about?
The one... I'm trying to think of something. Did you see Cloud Atlas? No, okay.
I pray to haggard Tom Hanks. I pray to road-weary Tom Hanks. That's my God.
Jim Caviezel.
Jimmy C. That's a good G's. If you're going to pick a G's, that's a hot Jesus.
Did you see Apocalypto?
I did.
It was so good.
It's a great movie. It's hard to...
Because it came out at that time. Right. And so it's like this weird thing where you're like, I shouldn't be...
I know.
But it's so dang good.
I know.
I bet I would have been nominated for tons of stuff. Anyway.
Robbed. So there is a Lord.
So, yeah.
Afterlife?
Yeah, but it's a lot like Fantastic Mr. Fox.
That's where we go.
I hope we go to that place.
So you're a hopeful universalist.
I guess so.
Everyone goes to heaven.
No.
Some people go to hell.
I think it's just like
I want it to be Fantastic Mr. Fox so bad. I love that movie.
It'd be so great.
Oh, I just want to dance with that fox in the grocery store.
No, I think if people don't want to go to heaven, they don't have to.
Interesting.
We have true free will, I think. It's not just like, it was fine.
Yes?
Don't worry about it.
So you mean maybe it's just over if that's what your soul wants?
I think so.
Interesting. I've never heard anything like this, and I love it. So that's called annihilationalism, meaning you're dead, it's over. And you're saying maybe it's elective annihilation.
Yep.
Or elective Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Wow.
Based on the blood of Christ, are you open to many paths up the mountain?
Which mountain?
The Faith Mountain.
I'm talking about which mountain? From Escape to Which Mountain?
Can Buddha get us there? Is a Tibetan monk going, or do we need to be washed in the blood?
I don't think I...
We should have got to this earlier.
I don't think I'm the one that makes that decision. Yeah, no, I think...
What are you telling?
I think there's other ways.
What are you telling your children?
I say, stop it. Stop it.
But do you say...
Please stop it.
Do you say... Do you say there's a heaven and a hell and God is watching you?
That has not come up as much as you'd think.
Will it come up?
Oh, yeah.
Is that something you think you'll say? Does your wife believe that?
Yeah. Yeah. No. Yeah. Yeah.
Heaven, hell.
Yes.
Blood of the lamb.
Blood of... well, we have a lot of lamb. Because
I've seen the picture of the chicken. Show me the lamb.
I do love lamb.
Lamb's an underrated meat.
I love it very much.
It sounds like maybe it's not really on the front of your brain.
No, it's in the front of my brain.
It is.
All the time.
The work of the Lord.
That's why I work at E.
The Evil Network.
Yeah, we go to Presbyterian Church.
Oh, you do? You go to church?
Yeah.
Shut your mouth.
That's right.
And do you believe the Bible is literally true, divinely inspired?
All that stuff about you have to go away from the village while you bleed, I don't think you need to follow that.
Levitical law.
Wow, you know a lot.
That's where being gay is an abomination, though. Some people pick and choose the Levitical laws that they want to. You know, if your wife has her period, you don't send her to fucking Burbank.
I sent her to spend time with gays. It's really weird.
Get the abominations together. The gays and the bleeding women. Let them go.
Just fold them all in.
Like a pizza slice.
Literal. I don't think it can. I mean, a lot of it. Yeah. So
you do divinely inspired.
It's all over the map.
I understand. And you're in a safe place. Please don't feel attacked or that.
No,
I'm
this will be
you.
Rebroadcast anywhere. Just for her.
This is for Katie live.
Yeah.
That's very interesting. So.
It was either being a youth pastor or a comedian.
For you?
No, I'm joking. That was you earlier. That was an hour and a half ago.
How did I not know that? So this is interesting. We haven't had like a traditional believer in a while. And to be honest, it's refreshing and it's interesting and I completely respect it and I kind of love it.
Sweet.
Not that you need my validation, but you go to church, you sing the songs, It, you're not, you don't have a hard heart towards organized religion. You're okay with it.
I think it's just as flawed as any thing that a human being constructs. So,
yes.
The buildings and the, you know, the organization, yeah. Mm. It's just as kind of, can be as corrupt as any.
You think it's a we're better with it than without it situation?
Yeah. Yeah. And always someone's like, so many people die because of it. And it's like, well, yeah, it's pretty important to a lot of people.
Right.
And is misused, obviously, a lot.
Mm-hmm. Interesting, man.
It's all over the place. Everyone, it was like, yeah, I mean, Catholics, obviously, they've got, it's been bad PR.
Yes, indeed.
Bad times.
Right.
But they do have the greatest, like, hospital system in the world.
Catholics.
Yes, and it helped a lot of folks.
Are they, and that's where we're getting this
from. I was raised Catholic, so.
Okay.
Yeah. I disagree with a lot, you know.
But what when we come down to issues like homosexuality, I have to assume that you're, I won't assume anything.
Oh, no, I have no problem with dudes kissing.
What if, would the preacher at your church be okay with dudes kissing?
I think, you know what, has it? I think he would be okay.
Really?
Yeah, I don't, I'm not one of those, yeah, I'm not, I, yeah, I definitely think, I don't see anything wrong with it.
Mm-hmm.
I think also if you use, I think there's a lot of like, if your spidey sense, my spidey sense never told me that was wrong.
Sure.
And not that my spidey sense is the greatest, but I think there is some sort of thing where like it doesn't, I've racked to figure out what would be the problem.
Does this sound right to you? You believe you have your morality and you have an inherent sense, a God-given sense of what is right and wrong that you trust. Like your spidey sense that you're just talking about.
Yeah.
And
until I'm totally wrong.
Sure. And then you're not troubled with the literal, concrete, scientific, this happened 7 days, 40 days of a flood.
Oh, no, I don't think that either.
Physical death and resurrection of Christ, virgin birth, sinless life. Doesn't seem to concern you.
I don't see any, like with the creation story, I don't think there's any conflict between the story in the Bible and evolution.
Sure. I don't think so either.
I don't think it was ever like a thing.
My favorite quote, the creation story isn't to tell us how God created the world. It's to tell us that God created the world.
Yeah. And that's a really good, I don't think.
Don't you like that? Got that from a rabbi in Jerusalem.
Really?
Yes.
When did you go to Jerusalem?
I studied there a semester.
Good for you.
It was great.
You toured.
I toured. I did some shows. I didn't do any shows. This is before I did
stand-up. How much time we got?
Well,
I'm going to...
It's always the more interesting...
We're going to have to wrap up because I'm going to run out of time.
I know. All right. But then to finish, because I'm trying to put a pin in this for
you. What are the rest of those lightning questions?
I'm just saying, this is the last Bible.
All right, go.
The story of Christ is the myth, potentially, not necessarily... It's not important to you whether or not it's true. That is the story, and that is the vessel with through. You understand the secret thoughts and the feeling of having a soul and that sort of stuff. You're like, this is the lens I'm viewing it through. It's for me. It's for my family.
Wait, are you saying... Oh, boy. We should do this later, because I have no... This is... I literally...
You have to go.
The door to the preschool opens in 7 minutes.
You got to go. What kind of soap do you use? We already asked.
I don't, right? It's from a hotel. We already talked about
soap. I know. Before you go to bed, what do you go through in your mind? I sometimes pretend I'm a sniper, the best basketball player in the world.
Really?
Yeah. Not killing anybody, but just I like being cozy. And
the last thing I hear was like, you forgot to hook up your phone. And then I fall asleep. And then I often wake up with my phone like stuck to my back.
You don't... You don't have like a calming ritual, something that you think about?
No.
Really?
No.
I want you to pay attention. I bet you do.
I bet you I don't, because I might play a very violent video game right before I go.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh. Xbox?
Both.
I'm going to gamer tag you. How did you meet Conan? Then we're done.
We already talked about that.
You didn't say where you met him. You were about to tell the story and then you didn't tell him.
He had me as a guest on his show.
And now you're chums.
And it was a dream come true to be on his show. Mm. I mean, it was one of those moments I'm like, I was an audience member in your show a couple times, and now I am here on stage with you. I cannot believe it.
I love it. I wish we had brought up God earlier. Now get out of here.
All right.
Thank you so much for doing the show.
I'm going to take my vodka and wine with me.
Sincerely.
And my salad that I didn't eat.
Ooh, good choices. Red wine?
Yeah.
Good for you.
The vodka's a gift. I'm not a huge vodka guy. I like scotch.
I like vodka and scotch, too. We end the show with the guest saying, keep it crispy.
What?
It's up to you.
Guess Ganga Crispy is what I heard. We end the show with a guest, Ganga Crispy. All right.
That's good
enough. We did it.
You say keep it crispy.
I say keep it crispy?
You just did. Get out of here, you good-looking son of a bitch.
All right.
Thank you, Joel. Hanging on down in Memphis.